United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
I can't trust in a political world. And welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 21st of May. Memorial Day is coming up this weekend. Hopefully we'll have some nice weather. Sixers in the city with me, you know, today is hump day. And it's a day that when country and city come together and figure out all the problems of the world, and then if you listen to us, we'll solve them.
That's right.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Beautiful. It's cloudy, but it's warm.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's warm. It's nice.
It's like summer. It's like spring.
Yeah, wearing a T-shirt.
Yes. I had a little sweater on this morning because I got out early this morning. My first appointment was at 7 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a hard-working woman.
I try. Hey, we're listening to Anthony Brown right now.
I really like that.
You like that?
I like that.
That's gospel.
It's happy music.
Happy music.
Lifts your spirits.
Absolutely. And someone, Redneck called in yesterday and said, this is not the old SOM.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said, but I heard him.
This is not the old SOM. He's got a point there.
Right.
We're playing things that happened in this century.
Yeah. Well, this this started out as just a little backwards country radio station down in Salem. I mean, that's where it started.
And now they're stuck with me. What did you guys do wrong down there?
No.
What did you do wrong down there in Salem?
This is the only live program on this station.
We're the only one left live. And
live and local.
That's correct. We're live and local, a little crazy and loopy.
And nationwide.
Isn't that amazing? From little old Salem, Ohio.
I need to pull that song up.
What song?
ZZ Top Nationwide.
Nationwide?
Yeah.
Is it a happy song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a good guitar riff in it.
Okay, very good. Because, you know, we like music here.
Yeah.
From the century. I had to play that. I just thought, that was just good.
I got all but about maybe just a little bit of the yard mode yesterday before I got the lawnmower buried in the mud.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about that on the way in because I'm glad you said that. I wanted to bring that up. Everybody has patches in their yard right now that the lawnmower said.
4 feet high.
That the lawnmower said, if you take me through there, I'll muddy up the world.
Oh, I got ruts. I got ruts all over my yard.
I mean, my whole backyard, it goes half, and then it stops. My neighbor goes half, and then it stops. Then I was coming in Liberty, because my meeting was out in Liberty, and in Liberty Township, I was going out 304.
Mm-hmm.
And the administration building out there had a little square in the middle of this beautiful cut lawn. Nice and green, nice and
4 foot high.
It was like layers.
Yeah, I cut some 4 foot high stuff yesterday.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, right above the pond.
Oh.
Right above the pond where all that water runs down. There's the culvert isn't big enough to carry all the water, so it runs on top of the ground.
I'm doing a lawn party. You guys want to come?
Sure.
Good. Because I need to build a fence.
Okay.
I need to lay some dirt.
Okay.
I need to reseed my backyard.
All right.
And I need to build a patio.
No problem.
So
we have the tools.
Well, this is good.
So we have dump trailers and skid loaders.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm throwing a lawn party.
So you coming to my birthday party?
Is it Monday?
Monday. 10 to 2, I think.
Yeah. Not staying.
That's okay.
Okay.
Just have a turkey sandwich and leave.
A turkey sandwich.
Mm-hmm. That's a white people thing.
Absolutely. No ribs.
We're going to have turkey sandwiches, sloppy joes, and hot dogs.
No ribs?
No ribs.
How are you going to throw a party on Memorial Day and have a turkey sandwich? What?
You know, this is the unsurprised.
You white people don't really get it, do you?
For one thing, I don't think my wife wants to pay for ribs for
200. You missed the point. 200 people?
That's what she said. I don't know. Like I said, this is the unsurprised surprise birthday party.
That's because you're nosy.
No, it's because
somebody had to pay for it.
Well, it's not even that. It's just how do you plan something and keep it a surprise when one of the parties doing the planning's 1,300 miles away?
Easy. Don't tell the dad. But my question is, you're supposed to have ribs. You don't have turkey sandwiches on Memorial Day.
I don't know where
you white people have
hamburgers
all
and hot
messed
dogs.
Up.
Hamburgers and hot dogs.
Huh?
I don't know anybody that does ribs for Memorial Day.
Okay, what about steak?
Nope. Hamburgers and hot dogs.
What are you grilling? You don't grill turkey sandwiches.
Well,
turkey sandwiches don't go on the grill.
Because of the number of people. If it was just a small gathering, we'd have hamburgers and hot dogs.
But right now you're having turkey sandwiches and hot dogs and they're going to be boiled.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that's you guys are anti-American. Good morning, Eric. How are you? You hear this?
Yeah.
And you want me to leave my ribs and my grill to come out and have a turkey sandwich?
Oh, but it's good turkey. It's special turkey. It's not just turkey sandwiches. It's a special turkey.
What, the turkey was wild in the yard and y'all shot him and brought him in the house and cooked him?
No. Be thankful I'm not feeding you groundhog.
That's a good thing. Okay, I'm coming out to have a turkey sandwich on Memorial Day. Hey, y'all, a turkey sandwich on Memorial Day. See, Vorb says, I want my baby back ribs. It's not at Chili's. You don't go to Chili's on Memorial Day. Jeez. What are you guys going to do? We're working on Memorial Day. You coming in to work?
No. Nope. Sorry.
I'm glad I told him this morning.
Oh, wait a minute. Do I get triple time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Triple time.
Three times zero is still zero, isn't it?
Usually. But you can do whatever math you want to do. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, I got to tell you what happened to me yesterday. I am so upset with the corner of happy and healthy.
What's wrong with the corner of happy and healthy?
I went to Walgreens in Indianapolis while I was there over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I purchased an umbrella.
Yes.
And Walgreens has a, you know, you can return anything to any Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your prescriptions to, at any Walgreens. It will follow you. So you do business at Walgreens because Walgreens is a national place, and you can conduct your business no matter where you are. So I purchased an umbrella because I forgot my umbrella here, and I did not use the umbrella. Well, the last thing I need is an extra umbrella. So what do? I, instead of me returning the umbrella in Indianapolis, I bring the umbrella back to Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio, at that. And I go into my Walgreens around the corner from my house. She tells me my receipt is not valid. It won't recognize my receipt.
Does it say Walgreens on it, big letters?
Absolutely. And the system won't let them override it anymore. And then they don't sell umbrellas at that Walgreens. So since they don't sell umbrellas at that Walgreens and they can't recognize my receipt, what she can do is she can give me a credit back, but she can't give me my money back.
Well, she can give you a store credit.
Right. I don't want a store credit because it actually says you have up to 30 days to return it for your cash credit if you have a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you not recognize my receipt that says Walgreens at the top? It's an original one. It's an original Walgreens receipt. I didn't make a copy of it. You can't recognize the product, and yet you want to give me a due bill. See, that's how they get people.
Mm-hmm.
They're always getting people. They're always lying to people.
Well, that's why they want all these stores want you to have their credit card.
I'm not using
it. See, if you have their credit card, like Lowe's,
yes,
you don't need a receipt to return.
You don't need a receipt. No, I had the receipt. I had everything there. They couldn't recognize it. Their machines didn't recognize it, so I couldn't get my money back. Whose problem is it if your machines don't recognize my receipt? It's not my problem.
Gee, I think we're living in Atlas Shrugged. I guarantee you the person you were talking to said, well, it's not my fault.
It wasn't her fault. She's just a lowly employee who wanted to do a return for her. Don't yell at me, lady. I ain't yelling at you, but I'm frustrated because they're always doing something.
You ain't seen yelling yet.
That's true. Call it. And I'm just frustrated. And that's, they do it to me. They do it to all the other people. And that's just wrong.
I don't. The more computerized we get, the more of a pain in the neck it gets to do commerce.
And for,
as easy as it gets harder on the other side.
And this is not about me, because I promise you, I'll probably spend $20 in Walgreens, but that's not the point. The point is, it's my money.
Right.
And you're holding on to it because your machines are not programmed properly, and you shouldn't tell people that you can use any Walgreens to do anything if you can't. Tell people that it needs to go back to the Walgreens in your state. Tell them it needs to go back to the Walgreens in your neighborhood where you purchased it. But don't tell them you can take it anywhere and then tell them you can't find it.
Yeah, I've never tried to return anything to like Lowe's or Home Depot that I bought way away.
It's really sad.
Diva says, all machines are keyed with the actual products in that store. The computer didn't recognize the item because it's not in stock at that store.
No, 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 Diva. They didn't recognize the receipt. Period. It didn't recognize any of the receipts. Not just, you know, I bought other stuff that they have, too. I bought some NyQuil in there. They have NyQuil. It didn't recognize the receipt.
Oh, okay. It didn't recognize the barcode.
No!
That's strange.
See what I mean?
At least recognize the purchase.
I'm sure their system just wasn't down or
broken. No! It didn't recognize the receipt at all.
It should at least recognize the purchase.
Absolutely. So it was like I went and changed the numbers or the barcode numbers so it couldn't be recognized, but yet I can pull up a barcode on my phone and recognize the receipt.
Did you show her that?
You know, I walked out. It wasn't her fault, and she had no power. So I'm going to go to another Walgreens today
and try
to get it again because I'm going, and then if not tomorrow or Friday, guess who we're going to call live on the air?
Walgreens.
Absolutely.
Hell hath no fury.
Like a woman scorned. They shouldn't do that to people. That's not nice.
No, it's not.
And if they do it to me, they'll do it to other people. And they do. And they do it to the people who can't do anything about it. And it's really, really sad.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, and I told them, you know, it's not my $20, but if they do it to people who are underserved. You know, we're always talking about we want to help poor people, we want to do this for these people, but we allow practices like that. Either do what you say or don't say it at all.
Did you ask for the manager?
He wasn't there. He went home. She was the manager on duty, the head lead cashier.
So they left somebody on duty with no power?
Absolutely. That's what you do. And then you're not responsible for anything.
That's the way you run a railroad.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I'm just saying, hey, if the number is 347-945-5229. Everybody lies. This is 2014. Yeah, but America shouldn't harbor liars.
We shouldn't accept it.
No.
I mean, you know, we take it for granted that our politicians lie to us.
We shouldn't allow that either.
We shouldn't allow it. I mean, we shouldn't allow dishonesty in any part of our culture. We shouldn't. But we do on a daily basis.
And that's just sad.
Why do we do it?
Because we can.
Why do we accept it?
Because we can. And it's just not right. It's just not right. Eric, how was your evening?
It was fine. It wasn't bad at all. Didn't get any rain, so that was a good thing. So I can't say the same about today.
So as long as it doesn't rain, you're happy?
Yep.
Well, guess what? I hope it doesn't make you unhappy when it rains, because if you didn't get your squares or grass cut in your yard before today, don't worry about it.
Oh, I got it.
Hey, would you rather cut grass or shovel snow?
Oh, I'd rather cut grass.
Cut grass.
For me, neither one requires any effort. I don't shovel snow. I push snow. I got a machine for everything. The only snow I shovel is just what's on that little back stoop at the back of the house. Everything else gets pushed.
So what do you do for cutting grass?
I got a 60-inch zero turn with a 35-horse cat diesel on it.
Done. So how do you trim the grass?
Oh, I got permanent mulch.
What is a permanent mulch?
Permanent mulch is number 57 gravel all the way around the house. Looks really nice.
That's not mulch. That's rocks.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's got all kind of different kind of colors in it. And there's little pieces of granite in there. It's pretty.
So how do you not get the weeds to come up through the gravel?
When I put the gravel down, I put landscape material underneath it, and the rest of it I hit it with Roundup.
So you really make that easy on you, don't you?
You ain't kidding.
And then you talk about how hard you work all day long. See, that's how men do.
I work hard at not working.
I'm beginning to see that.
And I got that. It's genetics, because my grandfather would spend 3 weeks designing a machine to do a 10-minute job.
Did it work?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then it added up. Because he added up all those 10 minutes later on, and it came the full circle. That was pretty good.
That's the way Grandpa was. They would get stuff out of scrap boxes at the shop and build stuff out of scrap boxes. Back in the day, you know, the companies back in the day, if it went in a scrap box, they didn't care if you took it home or not.
Hey, have you seen the new, speaking of ingenuity, have you seen the new traffic lights?
Mm-mm.
If you look around, you'll see all new traffic lights, and they have little steadies on them now, so they don't swing all over the place when the wind blows.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to check that out.
I'm going to have to ask my friend about that. He puts those things out.
I was checking that out this morning. I was like, wow, we got new ones and it's not going to swing anymore. I'm going to take a break when I come back. We're going to be talking with a young lady from the Horror Diaries, and it's called Honor Diaries. Go to honordiaries.com, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit today, Sharia law, and I have a different lady coming on because I couldn't get them the way that I wanted. I wanted them all day long, but their schedules would not avail that. So we're going to do a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, and then we'll open up the open mic for the rest of the day. Don't know where Dr. Danielle is, but we'll see you guys on the other side of our break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley and read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
And I write about the abuses of women in the Muslim world and worldwide.
I'm Nazi Iftikhari. A lot of the human rights work I do is, I think, in reaction to literally, you know, waking up in the morning and taking these events around the world very personally.
My name is Nazanin Afshin-Jam. I'm a human rights activist, and I focus a lot on women's rights issues.
She is a former Miss World Canada.
I'm only one person, and sometimes I feel helpless in a situation, and I wish there was others around me, and that's why I was so pleased in that salon setting to meet other women who are working on different issues for women's rights.
I'm Fahima Hashim from Sudan, and I live there.
Islam is my spiritual journey, and it is part of that journey that has brought me here to share with my sisters, because I feel like all of you that the struggle for women is our struggle.
Saudi women aren't allowed to drive themselves to work or even to the doctor's office.
The atrocities and the disadvantages perpetrated on women in the name of Islam are real and they're manifold.
Serious sexual harassment and attacks on women in Egypt. Groping, stripping and rapes have become increasingly frequent.
Mutilation of the body, acid violence.
There has been a wave of killing specifically targeting girls who study or women who work.
There's a terrible fear of the educated, empowered woman.
I have the right of education. I have the right to play. I have the right to sing. I have the right to talk. I have the right to go to market. I have the right to speak up.
The Taliban targeted 15-year-old Malala Yousafzai and her friends.
He asked for Malala by name, and then he shot her.
This is one of the most alarming human rights issues in the world.
This is being done in the name of some ideology that is full of violence and hatred.
The causes of crisis have everything to do with the part of tradition and religion, which are clearly about the oppression of women. It's the honestest
concept of honor. It's very difficult to explain it to Western societies. A lot of it has to do with how women behave and the sexuality of women.
Honor is something that is carried and contained in women and is there to be guarded by men.
The honor of a family is vested in a woman's body. The honor of a family is vested in what she does and what she says. His honor is connected to what she does and says. It's a misplaced sense of honor.
It's a harmless word replacing control of male over female.
For me and for the girls and boys, because we support boys too, when they give voice to honor, they describe it as being like the weather. It's ever-present, it's all-consuming, it's unpredictable. It's fluid, it's never static, you never know which way it's going to shift and change. And one of the big questions we ask is, what does honor mean to you? And as soon as you ask a victim that question, straight away it unlocks Pandora's box.
Female genital cutting. Most commonly done before puberty, some young girls will have their clitoris completely removed to preserve their virginity.
Female genital mutilation is not advocated in Islam in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't appear in the Quran, but has very much been adopted by some Muslim societies.
My cousins were just going for circumcision the next day, so everybody was preparing food and they're making big event. So I was in my uncle's house, so I went, I had small booklets on how harmful circumcision is, and I sneaked up to his room and I gave him the books and I told him don't do that. You know what happened? He came, because his eldest daughter was circumcised, he came crying and he really asked his daughter to forgive him, and he refused for the other two to be circumcised the next day.
When we're talking about the root cause of addressing gender disparity and empowering women, we do have to look at child marriages.
There's a real kind of a lack of an understanding of what women and girls face once they're forced into a marriage, right? I mean, these marriages are consummated through rape.
During sex, I was crying and begging him to stop, but he didn't listen. Then he put his hand on my mouth like this. I couldn't breathe, and I was crying, but he used me anyway.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. Let us play the rest of that clip as we go through the day. I've got a woman on the line. Her name is Raheel Raza. Good morning, Raheel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, and thank you for being here.
Well, it's an honor and pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Talk to us. We had a woman on yesterday, and I want you to tell us why this issue is important to you also. because a lot of things came up yesterday that honestly I had no idea of. I mean, we hear a lot of people talk about Sharia law. We have a lot of people talking about honor killings and all that type of stuff. And we see women here in the United States in burqas. And I said to myself, when I saw a woman in a burqa, I thought she was happy under the burqa. And with the life that was, and I'm serious. So I'm looking at you saying, okay, that's their choice. That's yours, not mine. I'm glad I don't have to do it. And yesterday my eyes were open to find out that that's not always the case.
That's true. You mentioned the word Sharia. So let me start with that. Everything that we have talked about and you have heard about female genital mutilation, honor killings, the covering of women with a burqa, forced marriages, they all come under the umbrella of a very, very sadistic interpretation of Sharia law, which is what we see being implemented in Nigeria by the Boko Haram, who abducted the 200 plus girls. It is what we see taking place in Sudan, where a woman has been charged with the blasphemy law for leaving her faith. Well, they say she left her faith. She says she was always Christian. You see it happening in Brunei. I see it happening in my native land, which is Pakistan. So all of this is a very violent interpretation of Sharia. And unfortunately, more than 50% of it is perpetuated against women and minorities.
Let me ask, I have someone in my chat room, and she's saying, Tracy, why are you pushing this Sharia law thing? It's not practiced in our courtroom. Talk a little bit about
that. Oh, this is some American saying that it's not practiced in our courtroom?
This isn't an American, and what I have a lot of listeners that are out there, and what they're saying is, well, that's not here, so why are you talking about it?
Well, then they've got to wake up and smell the coffee and take another very close look. It is very close to coming there. Do you know that in the United Kingdom, there are 13 Sharia courts that have already been implemented? Now, I'm not an American. I'm a Canadian. We fought Sharia law in Ontario, where I live. And it nearly came through, but it was a huge lobby. And I know for a fact that there are many of the states in USA that are talking about the idea of bringing in Sharia law. So tell your friend in the chat room that if it's not there now, unless people speak out and say no to Sharia, it will be there very soon. And I am telling you this as an observant, practicing Muslim woman. This is not somebody on the outside telling you this. I, as a Muslim woman, do not want Sharia law. Do we want cutting of hands? Do we want people stoned? Do we want women to be second-class citizens? These are the harsh questions that we have to ask.
And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I've got people that are listening, and they don't really,
they don't believe any of this.
They don't believe, and this is my second day doing this. And they really don't believe the words that are coming out of our mouth, because they believe in America, you know, it's not like this. It's, in America, people are not harboring these kinds of acts. They don't believe that when you, and again, as I said when I first opened up, and we're talking with a lady, her name is Raheel Raza. Yesterday when she opened my eyes and she said to me, you know, if you go to leave, you can be killed. They beat you if you go to leave. They can't call for domestic violence.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
not
true.
They don't have that freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you know, sometimes ignorance is bliss. Excuse my saying that, but people like to live in La La Land and they like to live in their own world. But the reality on the ground is that political Islam, and remember, I'm using the word political. This is not the spiritual message of the faith. Political Islam is alive and well in North America, in USA, and in Canada. And let me tell you the three prongs of it. It's the Muslim Brotherhood, it's Al-Qaeda, and it's Khomeiniism out of Iran. And all this is prospering just because innocent people, ordinary citizens, don't want to accept that something so bad is happening under their noses, you know. Good people want to only see good things. But unfortunately, this is a reality. And unless we accept that this is happening, how else are we going to say no to it? You know, in Europe, Sharia law snuck in because people didn't want to accept it was going to happen. It happened in England because people didn't think that it was happening under their noses. We had this happen in Canada. I have lived through that. When I came here 28 years ago, I thought nothing like this could ever come to North America. But it happened under our noses. So right now in America, there are people who are pushing Sharia law. And all you have to do is say American law is good enough for us. No, thank you. We don't want Sharia law. One does not have to resort to any kind of hate speech, but very simply that we, you know, there is no place for two sets of laws.
How do we begin to tell people that everyone who looks free is not free? And there are a lot of people. I mean, politically. You know, whether I agree with Islam or not, that's another issue. But overall, people have the right to choose. And when you have a daughter, and she is in a home that is serving under Sharia,
yes,
her life is not. She doesn't have the freedom of choice.
Yes.
This morning they were showing that there are. I guess this the song Happy. And there's someone over in Iran, and she was dancing to it in a video, and they put it on YouTube. And that she is in real big, she's going to get a lot of repercussions because she was not covered.
You know, you brought up an excellent point, and this is a point about freedoms, individual freedoms. Let me explain to your audience that my family and I left a theocracy and came to North America because we embrace the values of a liberal democracy, which is gender equality, the freedom of choice, the freedom of voice. But you are absolutely right. Not everybody you see is able to enjoy those freedoms. And I'll tell you why. Many immigrants come, and especially Muslim societies, come from communities where there is a tribal system. And they are not used to personal freedoms because they haven't lived under personal freedoms. In a theocracy, there is no personal freedom. There is no individual thought. Women will tell you that, yes, I do this by choice, but there has never been an alternate. She's never been given any other choice. So women in Saudi Arabia who cover from head to toe because they're forced to, because you cannot go out in the street unless you're covered, excuse me, is that a choice? Of course it's not a choice. And to be very honest with you, I mean, there is no place for this in North America. People think that it is a choice, but these are all parts of Sharia law that are imposed on women. And you are right, if a woman grows up in a home where she's told that this is the right thing to do, she does not have a choice. So individual freedom is something that is extremely important, and it is not a value that everybody is able to enjoy and appreciate. So, you know, American women need to be really grateful and feel blessed that they have those individual freedoms. But let me remind you that you did not always have them. They fought for them. You know, the freedom and the gender equality that is embedded now in America is something that women fought for. So now they have fought for their rights and their individual freedom and their liberty, and are they going to look at other women who don't have those freedoms and say, oh, it's okay, we have double standards, it's okay for me, but it's not okay for her? No, these are human rights.
That's where I find this being very, very disingenuous, because we want to fight for the easy stuff, but there's some hard political issues out there that we're not willing to tackle. Go ahead, please.
Let me be the devil's advocate for a second here. What's the difference between Sharia law and, say, the Amish?
I'm not fully familiar with the Amish, but I'll tell you what the difference between Sharia law and any other kind of personal law. You know, the Jewish community has their own set of personal laws. The Sharia law uses violence, at least the aspect of Sharia law that is being implemented now. So they resort to violence. I mean, cutting off hands. Do the Amish cut off people's hands? You know, stoning. Do they stone? Not to my knowledge. They have a certain set of separate laws that they follow. But it's the violence. And this violence is more often than not perpetuated against women. So if there was a case of adultery, it's the woman who gets stoned. If there's a case of rape, there are aspects of Sharia law under which the woman who has been raped is forced to marry her rapist. Now, what they are doing in Nigeria, the Boko Haram, there's an aspect of Sharia law that allows them, if they take prisoners of war, to treat them as sex slaves. Now, this is something that may have been applicable 1,400 years ago, right? But it's not applicable today. We are not living in a time, we're living in the 21st century. Sharia laws are 7th and 8th century archaic laws that have been frozen in time. If they had moved ahead with time, if they had been reformed, if the community had said, okay, let's take women into consideration and consultation, and if they had moved, you know, if they'd been changed with time, it would have been a different situation altogether. But these are frozen in time. And I'll give you an analogy. It's like trying to shove a DVD cassette in, a VCR cassette into a modern DVD player. It just doesn't work. You know, it's like a virus in a computer. And this is a virus in the computer of Sharia law, that it needs to be erased and they have to start from scratch before they can even think of implementing it in another country. Now, I should explain, for the sake of your audience and for you, that, you know, the word Sharia means fluidity, flowing water. And the idea was for it to, you know, evolve with time, but it hasn't evolved. Now, I practice a certain aspect of Sharia, as you would say, in my life, which is moral and ethical guidance. As a Muslim, you know, births, deaths, marriage, these are all aspects of personal law, personal life. But it's not imposing it on someone else. It's not about violence. It's not about cruelty. It's not about inhuman acts. So that is what we have to reject totally.
Yeah.
Are you shocked?
How much of this, how much of this is happening unreported behind closed doors in the United States? Do you have any idea?
I have an idea. I don't have statistics, but a lot of this is happening behind closed doors. It's happening under the table because, so come back to Honor Diary as a film. It tells you that, you know, the statistics that are shown in the documentary Honor Diaries about female genital mutilation, forced marriage, and honor killings are only the reported statistics. There maybe 25% of them are not reported. They go on under the table. I know from my own personal experience that when Sharia law was being pushed in the province where I live in Canada, it was very much under the table, and it was very lucky for us that it came out into the open and press and media found out and women found out, and we lobbied long and hard. And the law in Canada, in Ontario, that would have allowed this kind of arbitration was actually thrown out. And so no Sharia. That was the word that we used, no Sharia. So a lot of this is happening under the table. But, you know, people need to be aware. Americans need to be aware that Sharia is harmful. This is not something that is benign. We are not talking about a benign law, as you said, with the Amish. We are talking about something that is hostile to women and minorities. It is harsh. And there isn't a need for it. Then, so let me tell you that as a Muslim, one of the ideas that we are given, one of the principles is that for Muslims who live in another country, that's a non-Muslim country, they must follow the laws of the land. We are told this. It is our responsibility to follow the laws of the land unless we are forced to do something that is against our will. Now, we all enjoy freedom of religion. We enjoy freedom of expression. In fact, I can be a better Muslim living in the West than I could back home in Pakistan, where they are imposing aspects of Sharia law. So we have freedom of religion to follow our faith any way we want, to build our mosques, to pray, and that is a wonderful thing. Let's embrace that. Why do we need a second set of laws?
Well, listen, I've got some people that want to chime in, and I'm not quite sure where they're going to go with this, but we're going to try. Alabama, your mic is on.
Top of the morning to you. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was wondering, your guest, she's making some real great points, but I was wondering, if we can't have a Christmas tree in America, we can't talk about God. We got people like Michael Sam kissing, presidents pushing it, everybody's pushing it. They pushing us to Sodom and Gomorrah in this country. We're going to turn around and go in the opposite direction to something of piety or holiness, or however you want to look at it, and go to Sharia law. I just find that far-fetched. Not to say that it can't be pockets like in Dearborn where, yeah, there's such a large population that they can do things, but I just find it hard when we live in a nation of such decadence and just pure, since you're Muslim, I can just say evil because I agree with you. And just saying we got this, all this evil all over this country, and the whole country's just going to bow down and take something that is based on a religious. I just don't see it because they hate religion so much, and these people are so just out there in this country. I just don't see how this could even take over the country, and I just wanted your response.
You know, before she answers, you know, Alabama, I agree with you, but I don't think this is going to be a nationwide sweep. What I think this is going to be is it'll be pockets of, because what they hide under now is this is their religion. So when they go to court, they don't get, you know, as she said on yesterday, they don't have the opportunity to get divorced. They don't have that kind of time to get divorced. And so they harbor people who are under this Sharia law and don't let them out. And so, and then when the person comes back, they make an example of that one, that woman, so that no one else will leave. Raza, Raheel, am I getting that right?
You are getting it right, and the gentleman who spoke is also right in the sense that, you know, religion and politics need to be separated. You know, we live in a country where there is separation of state and religion, and that is one of the most important points in terms of immigrant communities who come to the West, that they must understand that, you know, this is something that needs... So personal worship, any kind of practice that is personal, one should never have a problem with, each one to their own. It's only when it's a set of laws that are being practiced that are difficult. And yes, you know, under the umbrella of Sharia law, there were people who were being given divorces and custody of children, and most often not to the advantage of the women. I know cases of young girls who have been given a divorce under Sharia, not under civil law. So, the main point that we're talking about, it's not about religion. We're saying that this is about human rights. So if there is a law that is not friendly to human rights of any community, then we have to say no, that we don't need that. The laws of the American Constitution or here in Canada, Canadian law is good enough for me. Thank you.
Well, I was just asking, how do you see it? Do you see this coming in pockets like Tracy was saying, or is it, because I just don't
it's not going to take over, yes. I don't want you to lose sleep at night. I think that people are very aware it's not going to take over your whole country. It will take place in pockets, but that's dangerous too, because if in one state it is allowed, then people in the other state look at this and say, okay, you know, if they can have it, why can't we? So it starts moving in this way. I mean, I think that the United States as a whole has to say no Sharia. Thank you very much. I mean, how hard is that?
We're not doing that, are we?
No, you're not. Because of political correctness, you bow down to pressure of politicians, there's votes. I mean, there's all sorts of, wheels within wheels, which you and I can't reach. But as I said, to me, how hard is it to say, no Sharia, thank you. We don't need a second set of laws. So,
I have a question for the guest.
There's another gentleman on the line. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the woman, how do you feel about the lack of outrage from so many feminist groups, especially here in the U.S.? I mean, they complain about birth control, using words like calling women bossy, but you don't hear anything at all about what's going on to these women. And that bothers
me. Yes. Thank you very much. The woman, by the way, my name is Raheel. I agree with you. That is one of our challenges. We have not had the kind of support that we would want from feminist groups. I think that when they, you know, if each one of them were able to see this documentary on a diaries, they would see the kind of atrocities we're talking about, and they would be marching in the streets saying, don't know because we support our sisters. And that brings me to the point that this is not a battle for Muslims alone. You know, when you're in America, this is for all Americans. When we are in Canada, this is for all Canadians. I call this here a Canadian issue. And I think that has to be up front and center, that, you know, don't ghettoize the communities and say that this is their problem. No, if Sharia law comes to America, you are affected by it as well. So it has to be an American problem with an American solution. And to me, the American solution is to say no to Sharia. And yes, you know, we are not going to hold our breath for the feminist groups to support us. We will look for support in ordinary citizens, men, women, all faith communities, and just do what we can do, which is what we have been, you know, doing so far with this documentary. We screen it, we show it to people, and we say, this is a human rights problem. To help us resolve it. And people do, you know. Good people help us in any way that they can.
Pianki, your mic is on.
Good morning, Tracy, and hamdu Allah to you. You know, I think somebody had mentioned about the Sharia law being voted by the city council in the city of Dearborn, Michigan. And I called a friend of mine up who's there and works in that city. He said it's new to him. So I think that a lot of these...
It's not voted for. It wasn't voted for. What it is it's not.
It was an internet newspaper clipping that said that Sharia law had been voted by the Dearborn City Council. So that's
my understanding is in Dearborn, Michigan, it is not prohibited. You're less likely to get a conviction and or have a police call and or get the support you need or
but
get the laws written to harbor.
That's not being sanctioned by a government of the United States is what I'm getting at. I'm going to be very short. And there's good aspects of Sharia, of course. There's major banks here in the U.S. that use Sharia. There's organizations that use Sharia banking in the northern area, like Minnesota and so forth. But I agree with you. When countries start using those ideas in order to violate the national rights of a person, then, of course, they should be addressed. In the Constitution, 1999 Constitution of Nigeria, they had provisions for Sharia law to be used or recognized, but you cannot violate an individual's civil rights as given to them and protected by them under the Nigerian Constitution. This group that's up there now, Boko Haram, they need to be dealt with, and more importantly, not only deal with them, but deal with those who are supporting them financially with equipment and weapons and so on and so on.
Thank you so much. That is such a fantastic statement you made. You're absolutely right. You know, Boko Haram has acted before. They will act again unless the root of the problem is cut. And you just said the best thing is about funding. Who is funding them? You know, these are hard questions that people need to ask and connect the dots. What's happening in Boko Haram is connected to what's happening in Brunei, where the Sultan of Brunei, who himself was not such a saint, now wants to implement Sharia law in his people. Now, let me give you a little background on why this is happening. Brunei was a very open country. I mean, you know, they never had a problem with Sharia law. But in 2035, the oil is going to be depleted. How else do you control a population? You impose a religious law on them. And it is all about control. It's all about imposition. It's all about power, patriarchy, politics. It doesn't take into consideration human lives and the value of people. So, you know, if somebody is homosexual in Brunei, they're going to be stoned. This is just impossible to comprehend in the 21st century. It's like, you know, the whole world is progressing, but these guys are going back in time. And so the root of the problem is their interpretation of Sharia law. So if you see what Sharia law can do in Nigeria, what it can do in Pakistan, what it can do in Brunei, What stops it from taking on a violent, you know, manifestation wherever it's being implemented? And to come back to the point that this gentleman made, that wherever it is, that if it is not being, if it's not implemented, yet it is not being prohibited. So that by default means that you're looking the other way and letting it slide under the table. It has to be prohibited. It has to be clearly said. No Sharia. I mean, I don't know how many times I can, these two words, remember, no Sharia.
Well, you know,
guys, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 34794.
You there, Bianchi?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
You know, I was going to tell her, there are states here in the United States which have voted against the courts recognizing any aspect of the law, Sharia, as a defense. And then you have some states, where the legislature approved it, but the governor vetoed it because he felt that it would be, it would cause some problem with international adoption. I don't know. Matter of fact, my state governor vetoed a similar bill. So well, you have states here that is opposed
to
it.
Good for them. Yeah.
And then you have some that have not moved on it at all. But, you know, the thing that gets me with the news media in America is that they demonize Islam. They demonize Muslims. And, of course, not knowing all the aspects of Sharia law, because some parts of it is actually good, like,
yeah,
in, as I mentioned before, in finances. But they want to demonize what is posed in front of them, and that's bombs, bloodshed, and killings.
You're absolutely right. But this is, this is ignorance. It's lack of information. And I think that everybody needs to be very well informed. And I am very conscious of the fact that by saying no to Sharia, we don't want this to become any sort of demonization. You have to understand that, you know, there are, I don't know, how many million Muslims living across North America, and not all of them are practicing Sharia law. And obviously, not all of them are in any way violent or prone to terrorism, but the fact is that very few of them speak out. And it is important that everybody understands, and this has to come from Muslims, because if you say it, you're going to be called a racist. So it is important to speak to those Muslims who are saying that, as I said before, that, you know, there are aspects of Sharia that are in my life also, but they are the benign aspects. But this current interpretation of Sharia law, which is violent, is not something that should be supported in any way. Now, if you have a blanket acceptance of Sharia law, it's very hard to stop some of these elements from coming in. And the most important thing is that it's man-made law. It's not divine. So people need to understand that you're not going against a God-given law. These are man-made, literally the gender man. Sharia law was put into place almost 100 years after the death of the Prophet and the message of the Quran, and it was done by the leadership at that time, again, to control people. So it is not, it is not divine law. It is a man-made law, and of course it needs to be criticized when it's not humane. If under the umbrella of Sharia law, inhuman violent practices are taking place, we Muslims must stand up and question, where does this come from? And if it was taking place in the 6th and 7th century, it does not need to take place today. So there is a concept of armed jihad, for example. It's no longer valid. Armed jihad, the struggle to defend yourself, was valid when tribes were fighting with each other. There were no barriers, there were no borders, there was no UN constitutions, so it was acceptable. But today it's not, because we are not at battle with each other like tribes. So Muslim scholars, academics, our religious leadership needs to say, well, you know, armed jihad was for that time, it is not applicable today. Slavery was for that time, it is not applicable today.
But you know, too, you should also have the ability to protect yourself from being forced upon by Western countries as they do upon developing countries. I see it all the time. And if we give you AIDS, you have to comply to this, you have to comply to that, you have to have same-sex marriage. That is wrong. It is wrong to wave a carrot in front of a developing country under the pretense that if they don't change their ways, if they don't accept this, then you cannot get the aid.
You're absolutely right. You know, but that is a political component of this with which you have to lobby your political leadership, and, you know, this is something that you have to look at in the larger picture. You know, so exactly as, you know, we all have our battles to fight, and as a Muslim woman, I look at the future of my children and my grandchildren as the next generation, and as the next generation of Western Muslims. You know, Muslims are here to stay. That's an important factor. We are not going to be going away, so we need to work these things out together as Canadians, as Americans, and we need to look at this in light of how we are living today, in light of democracy, individual freedoms, the freedom of expression, the freedom of speech, and of course, you know, whatever politically needs to be done.
Well,
you are right, you know, the
also, like, I feel like this is where the real fight for homosexuals and women should be, instead of, you know, wanting to take somebody's kids out into woods as a Boy Scout or something. Like, that's a little different. But, yeah, I think it is interesting that, you know, liberals and homosexuals and, you know, feminists refuse to really fight these battles, because if you say something they don't like, they'll come cut you up and kill you. And they know that. So they won't really go there with Muslims. But Christians, you can say that, or other people, but if you say something about a Muslim, your life is in jeopardy. They've killed a few people. If you say anything about Muhammad, they come in and cut your head off. So
that's true. That's true. Yes, you're right. And it is very hard, because then you're called an Islamophobe. But then, of course, you have to remember, and I'm very conscious of the fact that we don't want to have bigotry or hatred in our conversation. We need to have a dignified conversation full of respect, but we should be able to criticize, because every religion is open to reform, to criticism. Why should Islam be any different? But the point is that we are at the very beginning of what I would call our reform. And in order to even get there, in order to, you know, get this going, we have to light a fire under the feet of our religious leadership. I'm not a scholar. I'm not an academic. I'm just an activist. All I can do is talk about these issues and say that we desperately need reform in the interpretations, especially regarding women. Now, the good news is that there are some wonderful academics and scholars in North America who are doing this work already, but they're doing it very quietly. So I'm an optimist, but I do feel, as a Muslim, that if there is garbage in my house and garbage in my neighbor's house, it is my moral and ethical responsibility to clean my garbage before I criticize my neighbors. So in that sense, we are the frontline warriors, so to speak, in this battle, but we need your support, everybody's support, without any hatred in it, but support to say that, you know, other faith communities have gone through this. So if you look back at the history of Christianity and Judaism, they have all gone through this. So Islam is the youngest of the three Abrahamic faiths. It's going through its worst turmoil right now. And we have to work to bring about change. And this is what Honor Diaries is about. This is what my work is about. And this is what this conversation is about.
Do you have any Syrian refugees that's coming into your country?
I believe they are.
Yes, and that there is another example of the same type of things that I say get to the source of what's behind the mayhem that's going on in countries, in Muslim countries in particular. And, you know, the mayhem is happening because of the West. The West wants to have access to your economic market. It has nothing to do about human rights. It has nothing to do about the rights of women. It has nothing to do about
oil.
Number
347-945-5629.
And I was playing a part of a clip, and it's called Honor Diaries. You can go to honordiaries.com. You can download the movie. I think it's like $9.99 and $14.99 if you want the DVD. It's not about conversion. It's about a human rights of women who are
absolutely
across the globe and in the United States. And they are being held to a religious tie that they may choose not to want to be held to. And when you talk, look up the 200 plus schoolgirls who were abducted over in Nigeria. This has a lot to do with it. And the political correctness of the United States, they are not doing that which is necessary, whether it's here and or abroad. And so I have a woman on the name. Her name is Raheel Raza, and she is one of the spokespersons in the Honor Diaries. And she was. I don't know what they were talking about during the break. I'm a little concerned.
But, we were talking about you.
Oh my God! I think we need to understand that there is a world out there larger than the world that we see, and a lot of times there is a lot of information that you think you know, but you actually just surmise to. And when it comes to the dignity and the lack of education and the beating, and when we talk about beating, we're not talking about spankings. We're talking about brutal beatings and the cutting off of their hands and the mutilation that they're doing to these women and then actually cutting off their genital organs. I don't think you understand. And then letting little girls get raped and then having them marry the person that raped them. Can you just imagine? And they're not going to get a marriage license in the United States. The man walks down the street. He's walking with his wife, but she looks like his daughter, and you don't pay attention because she's wrapped in a burqa.
I'd just like to know, how common is it for a Muslim man in a Western country to have his wayward female child or wife sent back to, say, Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or Iran for punishment?
Well, if he can't perpetuate the punishment himself, they can do that, but that's not very common because, you know, the travel back and forth dings off the immigration officials. So that is not something that they are doing all the time. But, you know, even in homes and households where patriarchy exists, the women don't have full rights as in, you know, what I'm trying to say is that the practices of the tribe or the village where they were living have been imported here, and they continue to live the same way. Many of the honor killings that took place here in Canada was because the parents thought that the girls had become too westernized. And, you know, what do you mean by westernized? Is that they wanted a cell phone, they wanted to have the freedom to have friends, they wanted to wear Western dress. It's not like it was something really, really horrible that they wanted to do. Just simple things. So the mindset of the parents has to be in sync with the 21st century, otherwise they shouldn't come to the West. You see,
Yes, I've heard of Islamic men coming over here and marrying Western women and then taking them back, basically kidnapping them once they get them back in their home countries.
That's few and far between, but it does happen. I mean, like, that's like, you know, anybody kidnapping their children. I mean, those are not the common cases. But the common cases are the ones in which, you know, sometimes under the table they have more than one wife. They're practicing polygamy right here, and the law doesn't know about it because then if they want to implement Sharia law, that allows polygamy. So, you know, these are the catches that we are looking at. It's very benign. You know, they're not killing them. They're just saying that, okay, if we have Sharia law, then they can keep four wives, and they will. So these are the kinds of issues that we're talking about.
Hold on, whoa, guys. You know it's one at a time for real. AABBC.
Yes. Hey, you know, whenever I hear the topic on this, and I think you were saying earlier about some of the stuff that's being done to these girls there, and I heard Boko Haram mentioned earlier, you know, this sounds very harsh, but I don't believe the information that we receive through the media. I do believe and I accept that there are atrocities that are committed throughout the world, a variety of atrocities in different countries. But, you know, this thing suddenly came on the scene as far as Boko Haram, and all of a sudden the world's attention is on Nigeria, and there was some meeting that the West had recently talking about getting together, the Europeans and the United States getting together to do something, to take some action. You know, this stuff, this is problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, you react, and it gives them the reason to go in and provide a solution. And the solution is for us to go over there and take over that country and take over those resources. I think this is a very emotional subject and topic. Of course, when you talk about kids, and then, you know, you throw in the whole propaganda that's been going on since 9/11 about Islam and all this kind of stuff. It's just a toxic mixture of propaganda and fear and atrocities and all this kind of stuff. I really don't believe all of this stuff. It's, you know, we got all these problems here in this country for us to deal with. And as far as somebody coming here from another country and doing some crazy stuff that their religion says, we got laws in this country. So let's deal with it whenever somebody breaks the law. But aside from that, you know, it's all this fear-mongering, and I'm not saying that you guys specifically are doing this, but I'm saying it's been going on for a while, fear-mongering about Sharia laws coming here and all this, and, you know, genital mutilation. So that's my take on it. Is I don't really believe all this stuff that happened. I absolutely believe that there's atrocities that are committed throughout the world, but for all of us to get, you know, freaked out and something's got to be done and we got to run over to Nigeria and Africa and help these poor people, that's just the reaction that they want us to have.
Okay, let me respond to you. You have made a point, my friend, but two things. We're talking about a political perspective and a humanitarian perspective. You know, the politics of countries are something that you have to deal with on a political level, where your government goes or doesn't go. The issue of human rights of women, you need to see the documentary Honor Diaries before you make these comments, and you will look at the statistics. You're blaming the media for taking this out of proportion. Let me assure you that the Boko Haram kidnappings and their atrocities are very real. I'm a Muslim woman. I come from a country where there are more honor killings that have ever been reported. These are United Nations statistics. So take a moment and watch the documentary, look at the statistics, and then let's talk again. These are really happening. And yeah, if we, and yes, you're right, that you have laws in your country, but they don't often know, and they don't come to the rescue of these girls. And I'll give you an example. The three sisters who were murdered in an honor killing in Canada, they had been calling the law enforcement agencies, but the law enforcement agencies had no idea. Like you, they thought that this was very benign, and they could not help the girls because the social services were called. The school knew that the girls were threatened, but they did not ever think that there could be an honor killing in a Western country. And three sisters were murdered. Absolutely, the parents and the brother were given life imprisonment, but three young teenagers lost their lives because everybody thought this cannot happen here. So I think we need to wake up and look at the reality. It is happening here.
That's one case.
No, not one case. No. Hundreds of cases.
ABC, that's just it. Hold on. Remember, and this is the issue. Okay, I'll go with you and say what goes on in your country stays in your country, so that's your country and your business. But what I'm saying is we have women here who are screaming and hollering, congresswomen, senators, about human rights, about women's rights. A woman's right to reproduce, a woman's right to have contraceptives, a woman's right to, you know, equal pay for equal work, all that kind of stuff. But there are women, and there are tons of them, and I have to say this, I have to repeat this over and over again. Up until yesterday, when I saw a woman in a burqa, and a burqa, if you don't know, is when you see a person covered with nothing outside but their eyes. So they are covered in the middle. So it'll be 120 degrees outside, and they will have on all black, and nothing is, and you don't see anything but their eyeballs. And when you see them out at the malls, when you see them where they are, you think that they are happy in the religion and the practice that they practice, being in a burqa, whatever they want to do. If they want to wear, you know, one patch over one eye, everybody's happy. And we assume, because we see it, that their life is the way they want it to be, and it's all good. But the problem that I found out is those women, if they want to walk away, they can't. If they're born, if you see them walking with a little girl, as long as she is a baby, she's fine. And as soon as she becomes old enough, there is a possibility of her clitoris being cut, the possibility of her being raped and then put into marriage by a man, and then marrying her rapist. All that is still going on in the United States, and it's documented, and we know about it. And American laws and American law enforcement and our political system does nothing to stop it. They don't even allow these women to vote.
The Mormons do that.
But Tracy, again, one point I was trying to get to though, Tracy, earlier, is that it seems to be that your guests, and I mean, I agree there shouldn't be no honor. You shouldn't just kill somebody and cut their clitoris off. But at the same time, it looks to me that the Muslims are going to look at it like, who is America and who is the West to claim this higher moral ground and tell us that we can't practice polygamy or that we can't, because I don't really see nothing wrong with it, truth be told. And secondly,
you said that you didn't see anything wrong with it, and I'm talking about these women are in the United States of America. I'm not talking about, they're born here. They're citizens here. If you're in Africa and that's what you do, that's your business. Hold on. I want Alabama to get his point out. But you're acting like this is not going on here.
Tracy, the point I'm trying to make is that I feel like if you look at VH1, like they say, she said they don't want them having a cell phone or getting westernized. Look at what westernization is. Look at MTV, 16 and pregnant. I would want my daughter, if you're from a country like Pakistan or Iran, and you bring your daughter over here, and you notice now she's watching 16 and pregnant, she's watching all these homosexual shows and different things on VH1.
And so you're going to kill her?
Go ahead.
So you're going to kill her for that? Or are you going to talk to her?
I started my point.
No, but that is the point I am making. Very often these girls are killed for exactly that. I totally understand what you're saying. Hold on, my friend. We're talking here about human rights. We're talking about the rights of more than 50% of the world's population, and in case of Muslim women, 1.6 billion Muslims, more than half of them treated as half-human. And this is only the top points that we are talking about. There are so many other issues that are taking place. You made this point that, you know, America shouldn't be looking to, you know, for moral authority and guidance over these people's lives. But we are now Canadians and Americans. We are not somebody out there. You know, my children are growing up as Canadian Muslims, and there are Muslims in America who are American Muslims, and they abide by the laws, and a large majority of them do. But then they start getting influenced by these issues. Why, in your mind, should another set of laws, any law, be allowed as a second track of laws? You're creating
Nobody
so much confusion in the mind of people. Those women who may not normally have gone to the Sharia courts are now going to be compelled to do so as a moral, ethical, honor issue. So in order to understand the extent of the problem, I keep bringing you back, you need to see the documentary Honor Diaries. Those are United Nations statistics, and these are not media statistics. And they're horrific.
Here's the thing, though. They're not posting this stuff online when they do it. In a lot of cases, they don't register their children in American school systems or with doctors or anything like that. So when these people turn up missing, you don't know where they are.
Yes, it's very hard. It's very hard.
Can I say something crazy?
Hold on, Pianki. Hold on. Go ahead, Covina Man.
No, it's Diva.
It's Covina Man.
Yeah, this is Covina Man. I was going to say real quick. I think that... Ms. Raza, in your country, over there in Canada, you might have people who are interested in human rights, and we have people in America interested in human rights also.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak a little louder?
I was saying you have people in Canada interested in the human rights, and people in America might be interested in human rights, but really the people that's really trying to take your message and run with it is the type of people who, as BBC has said, that they want to... go into other countries and start imposing American laws on other countries and try to take the resources. So there's like you might have legitimate points and people want to help you on your legitimate points, but just be aware that people are really trying to use your message for justifications on denying Palestinian rights or raiding other countries and taking the resources, as we saw 10 years ago in the Middle Eastern wars. And that's what
my friend, I'm not naive enough to think that the message that I'm giving is not being misused. Everybody has their own responsibility and their conscience to take the message and implement it and understand it as they would. But let me keep bringing everybody back to the issue. We are not talking about political situation. We are talking about human rights. The issue that we are talking about is beyond politics, faith, culture, creed, the color of our skin. It does not matter who you are, where you come from, how you vote, what you believe. We are talking about human rights. What connects you and me is only the aspect of human rights. You are a human being, I am a human being. And if those human rights of any citizen or any person are being abused, we have to stand up, otherwise we don't have a conscience. I can't sleep at night thinking about the girls in Boko Haram. We need to talk about it so people are made aware that these atrocities are taking place. The political aspects that you keep bringing in is something that you have to deal with on your own. It doesn't matter to me. I am not bipartisan on this. I'm not doing this from a political stand. Honor Diaries is not political. It is about humanitarian issue. And if anyone can come on board, that's fine. If they can't, that's fine as well. But we will continue this. We will continue this battle to save the lives of thousands of women. And if anyone thinks that this is not happening here, they need to see the documentary Honor Diaries and see
Absolutely. What
the problem is. And are we done?
Yes. Thank you so much. I have one more person. Before she goes, I'm going to let you have the last question, the last comment.
Okay. I would like to say that I lived for about 6 years in a very dominant Muslim populated community here in Columbus, Ohio. They're spread out, and I lived among one. The one thing I've noticed is that some form of Sharia law is being practiced. However, I've noticed the biggest problem with law enforcement is that they don't call the police. If they do call the police, there is no formal complaint. So if there's no formal complaint, then what do you want us to do about it? Like my one neighbor, she was starting to become westernized. I didn't know how beautiful she was until I saw her sneaking out by 11 o'clock at night to go to the nightclub. And I said, wow, she is beautiful. All that pretty hair, long legs. Wow, she's wearing makeup. Well, I think it was 2 months later, she was shipped off somewhere.
Yeah.
I didn't know what happened to her.
Yeah.
And 6 months later, she came back, and she was back in the hijab, the formal wear,
yeah.
and not
yeah.
sneaking out or anything. But what do you expect for us to do when it comes to stuff like that? We cannot, I mean, under freedom of religion, we cannot force them to say,
yes.
no, you cannot do that to your child. You cannot make her conform to Islam.
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing this up. You've brought up a fantastic point, and you're so right. All we can do is create awareness. You know, this is where freedom of expression sometimes can be a problem for us as well, you know. But all we can do is constantly create awareness. And everything that you have just told me is shown in Honor Diaries. The whole issue of the police, the law enforcement agencies, this is a problem because they are not aware of the kind of problems that take place. And very often, the women don't press charges. I see this happening all the time here in Canada. So what we can do is create awareness. So I have this mantra where I say, you must, create awareness, you must educate, and then eradicate the problem. At the moment, we're just at the first step of it, you know, the first part of creating awareness. And slowly with education and enlightenment and the idea that once these women understand that they have rights here under U.S. law, that, very often they are kept in the dark about their rights. You know, this is the problem with Sharia law. They're told that, okay, under Sharia law, a man can say, okay, I divorce you 3 times, and she's divorced. She gets no compensation. You know, she's essentially left on her own. But once they know that they have equal rights, the main word here is equal rights, and that is what we want, is gender equality from a humanitarian perspective. And, you know, the more awareness we create, the more people who see Honor Diaries and understand the problem and then talk about it this has to go through schools, universities, and that is the first step. And after that, the communities themselves have to look at bringing about change. I never said it was going to be easy. It's a huge challenge. I don't even know if the change is going to be in my lifetime, but at least we are sowing the seeds for future generations.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to take a break. We've been talking with Ms. Rahil Raza, and she is one of the contributors to the Honor Diaries. You go to honordiaries.com. You can download it. You can see the trailer. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
My
we
pleasure.
Appreciate the education.
Thank you.
God bless you. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here.
Hamdu Allah.
There's all kinds of religions and groups and sects in this country that got issues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, man? Some of my Nigerian friends, they come and they marry traditionally. They don't record it with the U.S. and so on and so on and so on. They maintain their traditions even here in the United States. I mean, and they bring those customs with them. But the point is that if a person is being violated against their civil rights, especially if they're born here, then they that shouldn't go on. They have recourse.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for I think that a parent have a right to tell their child that I don't want you dressing this way. I don't want you dressing that way.
Well, my biggest thing is it seemed like from this conversation that you would get that every single Muslim or Islamic community that you come across is that, and it's not the case because where I lived here in Columbus, they weren't that extreme. Now, they did practice how their women was to go about running the household, how the adult children were to conduct themselves, how they were to dress, because, man, they driving cars, they got cell phones, so they're
and
not
that's
that
what she
extreme.
Said. She was talking about westernization, and I was just like, I've dated women that in that culture is looked at bad to be westernized, and I understand what they're talking about because look at the mess that MTV and all this mess we put out of our country. I don't blame them. I don't blame the Muslims for feeling like, look, we don't want you getting into that mess. And
yeah,
for us, like with Bianchi, when he said dangling the chariot of, you know, like they told Uganda, look, you need to accept homosexuality or
right,
we're going to stop.
Right.
I don't like that. I don't like that. That is not our place. Who do we think we are? I don't like that at all.
That's
because
like my
that's
neighbor,
what it's really about.
My former neighbor, their dark, well, when you look at, because she, I don't know where she got thinking that that's how you dress, but I mean, the skirt she was wearing, the top she was wearing, I was just like, whoa, she's about 17, she's about 19, she's probably 21 because she's going to nightclubs. But I was just like, yeah, I wouldn't want my child to dress like that either.
But
you know what I'm saying? There's certain things that we do in Western culture that we would not want our children to do.
You mentioned about these people living next to you. How is it that she could get to the point where she thought that she could get away with something like that? If she was being abused so badly, listening to that guest, you know, every woman that's in a Muslim household is under abuse and torture and all kind of stuff. But this girl that you know that lived next door felt, you know, confident enough that she could sneak out the house with a skirt on. What's that about?
Well, she would sneak out the house and change her vehicle, but you're right. I didn't witness any abuse, and this is a very large Muslim community. I saw a lot of neglect when it comes to their small children because in this community they let their children be free and run wild, and then they rein them in as they turn 18. But I didn't see any abuse.
Yeah, they sound like every woman is getting her genitals mutilated.
Yeah,
and,
that ain't true.
You know, all kinds of
crazy. Another thing. The women
they
that wear those clothes,
I left
they
them
not,
alone.
They, the women that wear those clothes, I wore galabeahs in Egypt, and I got some here hanging up, and I'm looking at them. I won't wear them here because somebody might shoot me. But the thing is that women that wear those clothes are not at the verge of having heat stroke. Those clothes are very, very cool. And the ones that's in black are the ones that's married. The ones that's in the colorful. Let me get this point across real quick, Diva. Hang on for a second. The ones that's in black are married, and the ones that wear the colorful clothes, they're the ones that single. Go ahead, Diva. Thank you.
Well, it depends because you have to look at it. They're not all from Pakistan. Like the community that I lived in, they're from Somalia. So they didn't necessarily wear black, but they did wear the hair garb and the the long flowy dresses and whatnot when they were married. But if they were single, they just wore the head garb, but they wore skirts and longer pants. But
so basically, they're black. When you say Somalia, they're black.
Yeah, but they don't consider themselves black.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. You can give us a call at 330-781-9600, and if you download the WSOM app, what you can do is just download it, you can listen to it, and you can push the button, and guess what? You'll call us right there from your phone and your Android or your tablet. Got a lot of folks into the chat room. Stickers in the studio with me. And it's 37 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we are going to go into an open mic. We'll just continue around this. 440, your mic is on.
Hello.
I found that very interesting what she had to say. But, you know, this is the thing. You know, this has been going on for thousands of years in their culture. But now you want to come here and you want us to solve your problem. That's bull.
I don't think it's that.
Take it to the UN. I mean, as soon as the Popo gets involved, and then next thing you know, we got the president. The president's doggone sucking a beard down with the guy. No, you're missing the point. We don't need to get involved. We already got
listen
problems.
To this. Listen to this. My issue is not what goes on across the pond. My issue is I see women who are in burkas in Columbus, Ohio, when I go down to the Capitol. And I assume these women have just as much freedom to walk away as I do from a bad situation. And what opens my eyes is what goes on in Nigeria is Nigerians' business, and we need to let Nigeria be in Nigeria. Africa, whatever, Sudan, Middle East, whatever. Go and do what you want to do. Wear a burqa, whatever. However you want to do that. But in the United States, if you were born here, you have rights as a citizen here. Whether I agree with your religious rights or not. But when you want to walk away from your religion and or you want to walk away from your church, right now, if I don't like my church, I pack up and I go and I can leave a church, the denomination. I can become whatever I want to become based upon how I want to do it. So I can leave my church and go over to Sticks Church, and if they go to church on Sunday and I go to church on Friday, I can go to church on Friday now, and I'm going to their church. But Tracy,
you're looking at – how do you know that these women aren't happy? You're looking from
that's
the
what
extreme,
saying, That's what we're saying. That's what we're –
you're looking,
we're,
you're
Diva,
looking from
what
it.
What we're saying is the women that were on yesterday and today – I had another woman on yesterday, and there are some women who are happy in the life that they're living as in Sharia law.
I'm not saying that, but
there are some young ladies, there are some people, some women who want to walk away, and they are beaten into submission.
But
so
that's
like you
not,
said,
that's,
hold on,
that's
hold
not
on.
Just with
Diva,
Tom, you know
you
that,
said,
right?
You
the
said
Amish?
The young, Diva, you, doesn't matter. I'm not, whether it be Amish, whether it be Mennonite, whether it be, I don't care who it is.
And the Amish do give an opportunity to walk away.
But
it's called the something or other.
She just brought this up, a part of what she her of Islamic women. But what I'm saying is, I don't care who it is. If you're an American citizen, right now, when we talk about women's rights,
our sanctimonious, self-righteous women that we are, all we want to do is be men in a skirt. And so we want to talk about, I have the right to reproduce. I have the right to do birth control. I have the right to have an abortion. I have the right to my own body. I have the right to make equal pay. But you can beat the hell out of me if you choose to, if you're a part of Sharia law. Wrong.
We live under a different standard, different set. Like Christians, our standard, there's nothing about Christianity that promotes that. When it comes to someone else's religion, faith, ideology, whatever you want to call it, who are we to step in, other than violence, to step in and say,
they cut the clitoris off a young girl before she hits puberty.
We're talking about here. That's what I'm saying. The young lady who basically rebelled, her clitoris wasn't cut off. She was just sent to New York.
But Diva,
New York
it might not have been.
How do you know that?
Diva, there are a lot of women, a lot of young women, before they reach puberty in the United States. That's what this is about.
Tracy, what is circumcision?
Circumcision is a whole lot different than that.
Yeah, I had that procedure.
It's when you're a baby.
Listen, circumcision is the foreskin.
Clitoridectomy.
That is a mutilation, baby.
It's designed
to
make it painful
for female
to have.
I'm not agreeing with
female
circumcision, but I'm saying
circumcision
in a male does not make having intercourse
not
painful.
Pleasurable.
Well, how did you know what it does to the ladies' intercourse and all
sweetie,
that stuff?
Because they talk about it.
You cut the clitoris off. Some women ain't going to be able to get the orgasm. Now, that's just cruel,
I'm not trying to get into a detailed thing. I'm just saying.
You understand? Before puberty, that's not what you call circumcision of a woman. You are taking away her femininity. And all you're making her is
so
for
Tracy,
you to do
that
as you choose.
To a man, in order to do that to a man, you have to cut his head off. The head of the penis has to be cut all the way off.
So, Tracy, can I ask you, what percentage of women is this happening to?
If it's happening to more than 1,000 women in the United States, it's too many. If it's happening to more than one.
Well, my point is, we don't know.
And
we
ABC. Yes, we do. No, we do know. Don't get us wrong. We do know. And the mother takes the mother and the wives of these men because of their if they don't do it, they get asses poured on them. They get beaten for not doing it. And what we're saying is I'm not promoting and or saying that we need to start a movement. I'm just opening up our eyes to let us understand that in our government, in our politics, right now you hear a lot about gender issues. But yes, you have yet to hear about this gender issue so that they have a right to become free also. That's my issue. My issue is we're being disingenuous about women's rights if we're not covering all women's rights. We can't say we want domestic violence for just blonde-haired, blue-eyed women, but we don't want domestic violence rights for people who are Islamic.
But see, the problem is not that we don't want domestic violence rights. It's so difficult. It is so difficult for one, they don't call the police. The police can't force these women to file complaints. The law can't these women.
But
what
Diva,
do you want?
If you,
see,
listen,
what do you want them to do?
Diva, if I call the police, and I call the police because I'm being beaten. And I have nowhere to go. Because remember, their shelters, they don't have a shelter system. So I have nowhere to go. And I can't take my children. They're going to arrest my husband. But yet my son is going to come beat me because I had their father arrest. Right.
Exactly. So what are we supposed to do if they don't call the police?
Diva, listen to one. Did you hear what I said? We have a domestic violence. Diva. In a westernized mindset, if my husband's beating me, my son's going to come and try to protect me. In their belief system, how they're raised is, if my husband's beating me and I call the police on my husband, when my husband leaves, my son's going to beat me for calling the police on my husband.
That's the problem. You think that they don't – you think they call the police. They don't even call the police.
Because when I come back home – they make an example out of me. It's like a slave. when slavery was alive and well, what they would do is they would take that runaway slave that they caught, and they would get everybody out of bed, and they would have a little commune church service, and they would beat that runaway slave into an inch of his life to tell me that if you run or if your boy runs, this is what I'm going to do to you and to him.
You do realize domestic violence doesn't just happen within the Muslim communities. It happens a lot. And women tend to go back and have to suffer the consequences of going back. The fact is, how do we get them not to go back?
But your next-door neighbor does not help them. That's what I'm saying. There's a culture here.
That's not true. No, that is not true.
Yes, go ahead, ABC. Yeah, hold on. Who's that? Hold on, Sal. Hold on, ABC, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you're making a lot of broad statements, this generalizing this whole thing. And what it sounds like, just listening to this, is that, you know, we're on the verge of some kind of apocalyptic thing with these Muslims, and they killing all their women. They mutilating them. They got them hidden under the floor or something in cages. I mean, it sounds like this horrible thing. There's a billion of these people in the world. In this country, there's millions. And we don't hear, you know, it ain't this thing that y'all making it to be. I like I said before, I absolutely believe that there is some atrocities that exist in that community. I also believe that there's atrocities that exist throughout all of these communities, Christian, white, black, Pakistani, Asian, and throughout this country, and we can't fight everything. All we got is the laws. We got our laws, and let's just hold people to those laws. Anybody that screws up against
this.
Get them.
Let me say this. Hold on, South Carolina, just a second. When we were enslaved, and when we were going through Jim Crow, people stayed silent.
Because that was the law.
Because it was the law.
They did not stay silent.
That ain't the same thing.
Okay, it ain't the same. Go ahead, South Carolina. No, wait, South Carolina's done. Go ahead.
You know, one of the my introduction to what Sharia was came in 1989 in Southfield, Michigan, at a school that I was attending. This young lady, we all knew she was Muslim. She wore her burqa, but the thing was, when we go to class, we had a system that locked out anybody else unless there was a student. But one day we were downstairs in the cafe there, and there happened to be a male there, and he was saying something, and she laughed. Well, she didn't know her brother was standing just about, you know, 10 feet away. When she laughed at what this guy said, he went upside her head so hard. The next day, she came to school, she had glasses on. They beat her literally, I mean, to within an inch of her life. What folks don't realize is, these women don't have their own right. They don't have their own say. They can be killed. You know, if they're raped, they have to prove that they've been raped. I mean, you know, you can't drive. And I'm having a hard time understanding why folks are, you know, defending this. And not to mention, you need to go to the web and pull up female circumcision, okay? It's a real. It's something that's real. They do it to these young girls, in order to keep them under control. I mean, why would you want to live in a society like that? And you're basically saying it's okay. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Go ahead, Pianki.
Well, I don't see nothing wrong with female circumcision. They don't see anything wrong with male circumcision. But the thing is, well, yeah, one's a male, one's a female.
There's a big difference.
And it's happening to the child. That child is under the parents' control. But here's another point. We talk about like I told the lady, let's get to the root of these problems. You know, we have a large Somali refugee population here because of what the United States done to destroy that government back during the time of C.I. Barry and Haile Selassie. And now you're seeing the repercussions of it. The politics that lies within the so-called human rights violation is very, very real. You don't solve one. And then here's another point. When you bring these refugees to this country under whatever pretense, do you expect for them to lead a culture at the border? If you
No, listen. Priyanki, hold on. This is not about leaving your culture at the door. This is about being able to choose your culture. Right now I'm reading a story on CNN, and it's talking about a Somali woman who does not want to circumcise her daughter.
I can understand that story.
Okay,
Is she in America or is she over there?
She's here.
Well,
I want you to know, for the rest of the day, I'm not talking about anything outside the United States of America. I'm talking about here in America.
Well, if something's going on in America, then those children have the protection of the U.S. Constitution. I mean, that's very simple.
But they don't.
The only way they would have protection of the U.S. Constitution is if the mother could go to Child Protective Services. Because it's my understanding that female circumcision is designed, the only thing it's designed to do is to make sex uncomfortable for a female.
Correct.
Well, I don't know about
that. The reason for male circumcision is disease control and other things. That's a proven fact.
Well,
Let me explain. How you gonna explain getting a woman's cut off, and you gonna tell me it's gonna be the same?
Listen to me, and I'll explain. What Stick said, he explained himself. He said if it makes it uncomfortable for the woman to have sex, would she be less likely to go out and have sex where she can catch a disease?
Oh, Priyanki, how do you think she reproduces?
With her husband.
You know, that's just asinine.
You don't go out and reproduce with just anybody.
You know, that's just 440. That's just stupid.
My question is the one guy that told the story about the girl getting hit in the head, you know, by her brother in school. I wonder where in the heck was the rest of the boys in that school? I would have dropped him like a.
Well,
how could everybody stay there and watch a girl get hit?
The problem with that is if we would have jumped in, she would have got a worse beating.
Okay, thank you. Not if you beat the living daylights out of him.
Well, she would have gotten
the message clear.
You beat her, and we're going to
beat you some more.
Remember, we don't fight in school anymore. We don't stick up for one another because it's not my problem.
Yeah. So
if a girl gets hit, then we all got problems.
We got problems.
If jumped in, they'd probably kill that girl. If a male would have jumped in, it would have made it 10 times worse.
The father, because the father would have blamed her for the son getting beat up.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then when he comes back to school, you just beat the living daylights out of him again. And keep beating on them.
No, 440, we don't live in that society anymore.
The heck you don't. It's happening every day in all of our schools, in cities. Don't tell me that.
We don't get that anymore.
They're
remember, it's not my
school.
But we're not bringing
guns to
school.
We're
not bringing guns to school to protect someone else. We're bringing guns into school to shoot somebody. It's not to defend a bully. It's not to help somebody else.
There's
that's not what we're taught anymore.
And violence going on in school, and you mean to tell me that nobody jumped in to help that girl?
Do you realize that right now there is a trend going across America that people are getting raped in broad daylight? People are watching people get beaten and robbed, and everybody stands around and watches it like a movie?
Yeah, how much surveillance video have we seen across this country where people are getting mugged in public or hit in public and everybody just walks past?
We're not raised to be courteous and to care and to jump and to make sure that I'm my brother's keeper. It's their business. Let them do what they want to do and keep on moving. We don't jump into other people's business anymore. Don't you hear I'm talking here? It's not my problem.
I mean, we can't even get people in our chat room to admit this is actually going on.
Good morning, Aminti. Well, I hit a baby. Diva?
Yes?
I'm surprised that you're not sympathetic to this.
I am sympathetic to it. I understand. However, I think that
from what I'm hearing in the context of yesterday's conversation, this conversation, you guys are making it seem like it's more broader and generalized here in America than it actually is. It's not.
I cannot believe you're not more sympathetic to this.
What do you mean you cannot believe I'm not more? I'm all for people practicing religion.
See, this is my problem with people who are feminists, and they're all for the women's. Oh, no, you're not a feminist. And so that you're all down for women's rights and equal pay and equal work, and we're going to march down the street, and we're going to be, I am woman, hear me roar, and I really don't need a man. All I need to do is take out the trash and be there, be my partner. I don't believe that we are not, we act this way, but we're not sympathetic to people who are being hurt.
I can't believe that you deny that equal pay doesn't happen for women are denied equal pay in the workforce, but you're all gung-ho for this. So
Tracy and I have fought over that one.
You've never heard me say that.
Yeah, Tracy and I have fought over that one. She believes that women are routinely paid less than men.
You've never heard me say that. I don't know where you got that from.
Well, I may
I don't agree with where they're coming from at this stage of how they're talking about inequity of pay when it comes to gender for the political issues.
Okay, that's how I'm feeling about this conversation.
You are a true progressive liberal. You absolutely are. Because you have and that's okay. But this is the problem, because we say that we care, but when issues come up, we say it's not our problem.
I mean, my progressive friends would disagree with you because they don't think that I am. So they would highly disagree with you.
That's because you don't want blood on your hands. ABC,
no,
your mic is on. Hey, listen, I got to take my break. Everybody's mic's on. Please be courteous as I take my break. We'll see you on the other side.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
A demon
with your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk in.
I mean, I'm very sympathetic to it. However, I don't buy her argument, because there are so many different. Look what the Amish is doing with their communities to their females. Look what the Latter-day Saints, Mormons, do to theirs. Look what Scientology, all the brainwashing that goes on in Scientology. I mean, you can't speak out against that community at all. Hello? You might end up dead.
Steven.
And
here's the thing, though. When you're talking about female mutilation, that's a whole different thing. When you're talking about female oppression.
To what degree is that happening, man?
Alabama.
To what degree is that happening? Y'all keep talking about that like it's happening to every other lady. How many people is this happening to?
I mean, it is happening. It depends on
I'm not saying it's
the
not happening.
That they're talking about, because female mutilation, it's not in every single community. I have not come across a female that went through that. And here in Columbus, there is a large population, and I was talking to someone about that, and it was like, it doesn't happen. It's very extreme. It doesn't happen here in America because there are laws to protect
why they call it mutilation anyway?
Mutilation.
How is it mutilation? If it's done correctly, it's a procedure.
It's not because you don't have a clitoris, but let somebody cut off the head of your penis and see if that's not mutilation.
Yes, I heard.
Well, if they cut off the foreskin of a penis, that mutilation? This is something that's been going on in other countries for ages. Now, I agree. If it goes on in America, it's a different story.
Right. But that's what they're talking about here in America.
But it ain't like it's happening all the time everywhere.
There are extreme communities. The Latter-day Saints. They're extreme. Amish, they could be extreme. Scientology, extreme.
She's right about that.
Get the people to do it. Just get the people to do it, and that's the end of it. You know, they're making it like we need to have some kind of campaign to go exterminate these people or something.
that's what they want. They want you to go out of the country and do it.
Right.
Really.
That's why I'm not buying the argument. I'm very sympathetic. Do I like to, if a woman is unhappy in her situation, in her marriage, no matter what faction or religion she belongs to, I'm going to sympathize for her, and I'm going to help her if she asks me to help her. But I'm not going to go along and buy this argument that Tracy's trying to give because I know politically where they're coming from.
Right. We had a mercy killing here in this community in the year 2000. Where a father killed his daughter for who she was dating. So, yeah, it does go on.
Those people got to be dealt with. But, you know, we can't prevent every crime that's going to happen, every atrocity that's going to happen. We can't prevent it. It happens every day in some city.
Especially when you're the root of the problem why they're here anyway.
Are we to outlaw them from their religious practices, like the women wearing burqas?
You can't do that.
You can't do that here in America.
I know some African Americans that wear burqas because they want to.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You got black Hebrews or like whatever they practice. Who knows what's going on with them with their women? It's probably the same thing.
So what that argument does is an emotional argument that builds up this big fear and it provokes this idea of we got to do something. We got to do something. Let's go after these people. That's what they're doing.
But it's not just Islam. I mean, where were they when, what's his name, the Jeffers guy? Where was the outcry and the outrage against that faction of the Mormon church? That he was very extreme, all the stuff that he was doing. If you look into research Scientology and the crap that they're getting away with, where is the outrage in that?
Why is it that we only have an outrage when it comes to Islam?
No.
I think there was quite a bit of outrage when it came down to Jeffers. That's why he's in jail now. Okay.
I don't even know who that is.
That's not true. It wasn't that much outrage.
They had a lot of pushback, even with the David Koresh situation. People sided with him and his craziness when the government tried to intervene.
You're looking at the wrong news outlets.
We're looking at the same one you was looking at, man. We know what it is. It's a war against Islam is what it is. And y'all helping provoke it with all this crap. Yeah, so there's some atrocities. Get those people that's committing those atrocities and leave everybody else alone.
That's right.
He's making a point.
Like it's some damn campaign against the world or something. Like Vorp keep putting that stuff in there. They have to get everybody. That's some BS.
Look, again, as far as Nigeria is concerned, I would tell that president, look, man, you want me to send a couple of field teams in there for an extraction mission to put them girls out? If you don't want my help, okay, fine. If you change your mind, you got my number, okay? Period.
They really didn't need U.S. help anyway. They had China and everybody else.
Period.
Hey, that's...
Everybody let those girls go, right?
There's stories out there talking about there's plans to balkanize Nigeria, so you got to be cognizant of these problems. Hell, what you have in Somalia today is the same pretext of what's going on in Nigeria. Somalia was a very, very substantial and sovereign country that was doing everything right until the U.S. and Russia during the Cold War created it into what it is today. It was United States funding and supplying weapons to CIA Barrett. The same way I brought it up to the lady. Just don't look at Boko Haram. Let's look and see who's behind them.
That's why I say send the team in. We don't need a big military presence. Send the team in.
We don't need
in,
to go in
out.
There at all. Man.
Thank you, you're done. That's it. I'm
you
not for no presence. I don't want a presence over there at all either.
That's the thing that is kind of puzzling to me is this whole that this so-called Sharia law is here in America. That's the only thing that's kind of like got me like, what's that all about? Or
it ain't,
is practice. It is practice. I'm not gonna lie and say it's not practice. However, the violent aspects of it is not practice in every Muslim community because Sharia law basically governs the community. Meaning, they'll get into a fight amongst themselves instead of calling the police. They'll handle it with the elders. You know what I'm saying?
But the Jews
do that too. Punishment that way.
And the blacks done it also at one point in time.
The Italians do it. You know, you go to any of these little...
You know what, you just
they have
arranged
marriages. They govern how the women and the gender roles are going to play and all that. But I have not seen or witnessed the violent aspects where you're cutting off limbs and poking people in the eyes and just beating on somebody. I have yet to see a female get beat up in the parking lot because she was out there doing something she wasn't supposed to. They walk about freely. They drive cars. They got cell phones. They go shopping.
They got businesses.
Yes.
Well, women
are not allowed to work. They do have multiple wives.
Businesses.
I've seen Italians take people out in a murderous way. Don't say it don't go on here in the United States. Hey, we had a era called the Roaring Twenties, did we not?
Somebody got
I knew. It's funny because I fell asleep. I came to the show early because I wanted to talk about it, and I fell asleep. By the time I woke up, Sharia law lady was walking out the door, and then y'all started bombing her, and I was like, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that Tracy and friends was going to get on her ass after she finished talking.
I just don't like
just,
that stuff. People be playing that
like,
stuff up.
She was just sounding like she was the only one, and they were the only one. It was just like, no, we know, you know, you're not the only one. Because like I said yesterday, I said, okay, what do you want us to do to help you? What do you want us to begin to help you? How can we help you? And how can we help you without lives getting lost?
What she said.
You know what I mean? Like,
what was
the
answer?
Because
what
happened is it's going to become a war. Because if I try to help you, and then this man try to step to me, and I try to whoop on him. You see what I'm saying? That's what it's going to turn to. It's just going to be it's going to be violent.
So what did she say when you asked her?
No, I said that yesterday. She was on for like an hour and she left. I was talking about that yesterday.
That was a different lady.
That was a different lady
yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends.
This weekdays lady
from
today,
9 to noon. The show
the
that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day.
Aware.
Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Tracy and Friends, 8 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on WSLM AM 600, and it's open mic for the rest of the afternoon. This is in studio with me, I think, Justin, the chat room. In the ABC, where are you calling from?
I'm sorry, I had myself muted. Dallas, Texas.
Well, welcome to Ohio.
All right.
Where did AABBCC come in?
It's the simplest answer. You know, you have to create a name to log in and all stuff, and I didn't really think up anything, so I just did that just so I could get in to Blog Talk and it just stayed.
Okay, because, AABBCC, you know, that's too hard. That's really kind of difficult to say.
Well, everybody just say ABC. That's all they call it.
Okay. I did this show to bring attention and awareness to something that is just not in mainstream media. I mean, you hear about it, and if you want to see something really graphic for those of you who are close to a computer, just go type in genital circumcision and then click on images. It'll scare you. You know, men cringe when they see another man get hit in his. Well, I never knew what that felt like. I never knew what that meant. I saw it today.
Yeah, that's a little serious for me. And when I have Dr. Hill on, I'm going to ask him to get
from the United States.
But Tracy,
I don't know if they're from the United States or not, because they don't give you geographic locations. But what I am saying is, you know, things that go on in people's homes and people's cultures, and I listened to some of the stuff that you guys were talking about during the break. You know, things happen. You know, young girls been having sex with their daddies for a long time. Then their stepdaddies and their brothers. Incest is real. Stepdaddies been going with their stepdaughters for a long time. Young men have been being raped for a long time before the internet. And so just because we don't see the pictures of it doesn't mean that it's not there.
Hold on.
And so what I'm saying is, this is not for us to go out and shut the radio off and don't do nothing but talk about this for now until, you know, Jesus comes, and for us to think that there is this huge wave and it's getting ready to come to a home near you and you need to get a bunker and all that kind of stuff. That's not what this is about. This is to keep you need to know a little bit about everything that goes on around you and across the globe so that when you see it, you know it. And maybe you'll have a little compassion on someone that you see, won't be so judgmental about other people's lifestyle, and actually sometimes even be thankful for the life that you live within your own confines. Because that, you know, I'm finding, you know, I look around and, you know, I can do the pity party, oh, woe is me. But when I look at other people's lives, you know, it's like, well, you know, maybe mine's really jacked up, but that is just horrible over there, so I'll take what I got.
You know, Tracy, there's a man out here who's American, who talks about circumcision and goes into ancient times to justify it. And so there are people in America who are out here saying to people about female circumcision and explaining it in full lecture detail of why it's okay. So I just want to throw that in there.
There's a lot of people that think this stuff is okay. But what I'm saying is it should cause us to have compassion on other people and to actually be thankful for the lives that we have, if nothing else.
I have plenty of compassion, but, you know, it's all mental as well. There's compassion there, but at the same time, it's all mental as well.
What do you mean mental as well?
It's all mental. I mean, because once you're controlled and beat down like that, you're going to, even if you're here in a place like this where someone can help you, you still don't believe your help, because this is the purpose of why they have these type of cultures and these things going on, because these women are beat down mentally, you know, from the time they're small children with the mothers, a generational thing, so they feel like there's no help, there's no one there. That's all I'm saying.
And that's
just like
true.
The young girl, hold on, just like the young
hold
girl
on, Bianchi.
Who got hit by her brother, the guy who used the example of that. That young girl could have probably went to the school and told or something like that, but because she's so mentally broken down, she, look what happened to her.
She's not going to do that. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Yeah, she's mentally broke down because her country is tore up. But, you know, here's
this
another
is,
point, too.
Bianchi, I keep on telling you, this is not, I'm not talking about other countries. I'm talking about here.
That's why she's here.
I'm talking about Columbus. No. They're here because of money.
They're here because of... These Somali refugees in Minnesota, we got some here because their country's tore up. But you're not going to make another point. You know, the United States, as I indicated in chat, the United States wants to sell these countries where we see these pictures of these botched operations that have occurred. They want to sell them weapons. They want to sell them GMO foods and medical and technology and other things. Why not sell them a medical apparatus so they don't have these problems, these botched operations?
Bianchi, you know what? For you to be so bright, you can be so dumb at times. This is not about trying to make people feel better. This
Tracy,
is just like slavery.
Tracy.
I don't think it's slavery. But
I
go
know
ahead.
You don't think it's slavery, but what I'm saying is this is just like
well,
slavery.
You know,
I didn't say it was slavery. What I said was this is just like slavery. You have to understand, they're not trying to make their lives better. They're trying to take power and control over people. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Tracy, and the example that I gave, and people need to understand this,
if the young lady was well into her 20s, okay, if a male other than her family member would have jumped in to protect her or would have beat her sister or beat the guy down, it would have been 10 times worse. She would have gotten even a worse beating on top of that. And that is how it works in that particular culture, and people need to understand that. That is how they practice that culture. So,
but just like,
I mean, you're...
Hold on, Diva.
It's one of those things where you do not intervene because it makes it worse. It's like somebody spanking their own child. That's the mentality they have. They're beating their child because the child did something that was wrong.
And it's my business to beat my child. Hold on, I'm Minty.
Exactly. Exactly.
But just like with all domestic violence victims, there are resources that you can utilize. But like Minty was saying, there is so much brainwashing going on in that culture that these women feel like it's religion first, family second, and it's no outside. Because if she would have went to the police and said, I can't go back, they would have found her a shelter to go to, and then she could have got away. But
Diva.
They make the choice to not leave. You can't force them to leave.
Diva, I hate to tell you this. It's not as cut and dry as that.
What you just said, Diva, she would have to walk away from her children, from her family, from her community, and she would have to go and be completely on her own with no support system other than what she can get from government.
If my husband beats me, if I get away, at least I can run to a cousin down the street and call him on the phone.
Right.
When these women run away, they run away from everything they've ever known, everyone they've ever known, never to return again, and if they get spotted, could get killed.
It's the only way to put it in context, it's basically the same thing as a runaway slave.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
You don't run away from this. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, what they don't understand and what people, because I heard people on the thing talking about we just having a war against Islam. No, if you don't know anything about what the Quran says and how the Islamists practice it, then you don't understand something. You don't understand that in Dearborn, Michigan, if a woman is getting beat on the street, the cops are not going to stop it. They're going to allow it to happen. Why? Because they're running that city on Sharia law. And it says that it's okay for you to beat your child or your wife if you even think that they're doing something wrong. And you have to understand that's what the book says. Understand what Islam is and what... When you go to radical
Nobody
Islam,
believes it.
Whoa.
Well, you cannot believe it if you want to. That's what even happened.
Stanley, hold up. Let him finish. Then I'll pull you in. Hold on.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are claiming they've been innocent. You need to be inside the culture in your community and see what happens. And understand, I've seen two people that were killed on a killing right here. And you don't know that the father killed these two girls because they dated black men. See, you don't know that.
That was murder. And you know, if I could say another thing, Tracy.
Bianchi, no, you cannot. You got to wait.
Let me know.
Are you done yet? Are you done, Jeff?
No, I can't get done because they keep coming across with all this stuff. The thing is, it's real. These people are playing around because this is not brainwashing. This is their culture. This is what they believe. Brainwashing is taking you and feeding you something different than what you know to be right. They're born into this. They don't know any different. Yeah. And so you have to think. Yeah. What is this? This is a demonic thing. This is not a good thing. And no, this is a war on Islam. It's a war on foolishness. And it can't be allowed here, but you have our people bowing to it and allowing it to be practiced.
Stanley, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm sorry. As a lot of people, as Christian, that's total hypocrite. Because if you take your book, which is the Bible, and we read to it, there's many things that we take the Quran and the Bible, they say the same thing.
Wait,
let me finish, Jeff, because you are acting like the Quran is the almighty evil book, and I'm telling you the Bible.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You are. You
no,
are.
Damn
actually,
it.
Okay, let me just make my point. Basically,
Stanley, did you come in?
Everything.
Did you, Stanley? Did you come in late?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I came in late, but I'm just
okay.
going back to the.
Let me hold on.
Let me hold on,
Stanley. Let me give you the premise of what we're talking about, so you'll know. This is not about Islam religion. This is not a. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about what people practice in Sharia law. Sharia law is not Islam.
Yes, it is.
Let me finish,
that.
Jeff.
Yes, it is.
Jeff, let me finish. Jeff, but you and I know people who are of the Islamic faith who are not under Sharia. Am I correct?
Right.
Okay, stop.
They don't
what I'm saying,
Sharia.
Listen, what I'm saying. Jeff, we're not talking about there are many pillars inside and many layers inside of Islam. But when we're talking about, quote, unquote, the fundamentalist, radical Islamist extremists of Sharia law that's going on today, that's what we're talking about. I don't want to get in a religious debate between the two, but Stanley, you have to understand, we're not talking about the people that are a part of just Islam. We're talking about people who are practicing. They are practicing. Hold on. We're talking about the women who you see in burqas.
But, Tracy, the problem is, and everybody said it in commercial, if we're going to go see the fundamental of Islam, like everybody said, where are we going to start? We're going to have to go see the fundamental of the Bible, the fundamental of Mormon, the fundamental of other religion that have crazy things also.
The difference is
The Bible doesn't tell you to go kill somebody.
Oh, please. The Bible doesn't tell you to go kill somebody.
Yes, it
did. Please. Yes, it does.
Can I say something, Tracy?
Yes, it does, Tracy. But our court system is supporting those actions in our
society. I'm talking about the New Testament.
Eva and I got in this discussion on the chat room.
Come on, man.
Jesus said,
are we really
going to
go there, Tracy, that the Bible?
Yes. Jesus said that I came to fulfill the law, and you are under a new covenant. The old law is for the Jews, not for Christians.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That's a lie.
Go ahead.
Pianchi,
ABC, and Stanley. What are the rules?
Go ahead.
I've been standing on the side with my
Pianchi,
hand.
Pianchi, I don't want to hear it.
I'm muted.
What are the rules? The rules are we are not going to talk on top of each other. I don't care how heated it gets. You're going to wait until I call you. There are too many people on the line, and we're going to make sure that everybody gets their point out. We will not step on everybody talking. No.
What's sure that it says Sharia law in the Holy Quran?
ABC. I got a business to run here on top of with the conversation. You've got to wait.
ABC.
Who is that?
This is Bernard.
Bernard, then you got to wait, too. Hold on. Go ahead, Mike.
What I was going to just – Mike, me, Tracy?
Yes.
Or the other Mike?
No, you.
Thank you. The difference is, forget all the ancient religious texts. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about our court system in the United States will not support the people – who act out what it told them to do in the Bible. You can't go on vengeance killings and eye for an eye and all that. The court system will not support you if you do that. Where under Sharia law, the court systems will support all that craziness that's written in the book, even though it's 1,000 years old or whatever. That's what we're trying to debate here. That's the way I see this. There's a difference between what your holy book says and what the court system in the country and culture you live in the year 2014 will support. And under Sharia law, they support all that craziness when you go out and do that stuff. You can have honor killings and everything else. You can't do that under the U.S. law, even if you are a Christian and believe in the Bible. You can't have an honor killing.
Go ahead.
You'll get away with it. And that's what Tracy is trying to say here. That's what the topic is, Stanley. It's about Sharia law, the way it's implemented in a court system.
Go ahead, Bernard.
I want to know what surah in the Holy Quran does it talk about Sharia law? Because it's not in there. The Holy Quran doesn't because somebody practiced something in their culture doesn't and they believe in Islam don't mean it is right.
That's true.
Bernard, you're talking to me. You're not talking to Jeff. You brought something up, and I need to get clarity of it because I'm going to tell you that I am not proficient in Islamic and or the Quran. So I need to go and find because you.
That's why people are saying that this is more about Islam than it is Sharia law because when people start talking about it, they start talking about that like they said on the Quran and that's something that God ordained and it's not. That's what I'm trying to say. And you got cultural things that people do culturally.
But what I'm talking about is. And what we said was, and this is truly about human rights, it's not about the religion. And or we're talking about Sharia law and the implementation of it. You see people walking around in full burqas, and they're actively walking out this part of their faith.
I agree with everything that you said, but other people keep interrupting you and trying to throw Islam in there like that's part of Islam. That's the point that I was trying to get across. It's not.
I don't know.
I agree with you, it's a human rights issue that should be taken seriously. I agree with that also.
And that's all that I'm saying. Because I can't speak to the Quran, I don't read the Quran, and I don't know it.
Well, I read all the Quran, I read all the Bible. And the Bible, I don't go back. I'm not one of those Christians who believe that one minute you want to talk about the Old Testament, and the next time, God says that I'm one God, and He says I'm the same yesterday as I am today, and tomorrow I change not. So I don't believe God wrote the Old Testament and this minute, and then wrote the New Testament, and this is what I mean. It's not no A, or it's not a plan B or plan A. Everything God created, anything he started in the beginning is the same how it's supposed to be going on now.
Okay, hold on. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Pianki.
You know, Christians in Turkey wear burqas, by the way, but they're not on the verge of having a heat stroke when they're out in 120-degree temperature. I'm going to tell
I got too many people on the line.
I got a friend of mine, a mechanical engineer who's in Michigan. And I asked him a question about, is Sharia law in Dearborn courts? And he sent me a reply, Baba, I work in Dearborn, and I know of no such thing. So that's a bunch of, that's some more stuff.
Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Tell him to Google Sharia law in Dearborn and Google those things and find out whether technically you're seeing something that this man, I don't know how he could not see it, is not seeing it, when the city shuts down every freaking day to hear prayers at 12 o'clock noon and 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't understand. I don't care what your friend said. He's a liar.
Well, hold on, Bernard.
Yes.
I'm telling y'all. Hold on. Bernard, don't yell out until I call your name.
All right, my bad.
Okay. Can I finish, Tracy?
You can finish, but I want you also to understand, it is not necessarily written. And they may have the call to prayer in the afternoon. But because laws are not pink, Bianchi, I'll call your name. We don't need side commentary. Just because you have an alarm system, just because they're not written into law and you don't see them as ordinances and they don't have a code number to it does not mean that they're not practiced in an unwritten law. It's just like black codes. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Just keep saying that Sharia has nothing to do with the Quran. That's where they get the Sharia from. I don't understand. That's what it's for.
Sure,
it was ordered.
That's not what I say.
It was ordered by the prophet. Now, I studied Islam. I don't care what they say. Okay, I had to study Islam at one time, and you know that's a long story. Not wanting to get into it right now, but here's the bottom line: it's all one and the same. It's just that some people who are more westernized and more subdued don't practice the full extent of Sharia law. But the law is what's taken from the pages of the Quran, which most of the Quran lots of with live quickly. You have to explain this stuff where you have no
Jeff, my question is, when I talk to people who are of Islam faith, and I ask them this question, and I ask them about this, they say the same thing that they just said, that this is not a part, Sharia is not a part of Islam. It is like a church that adds on to it.
Can I say something?
They say, huh?
You're an infidel. They will not tell you the truth.
Come on.
Jeff, that is about the most ridiculous thing.
Tracy, can I say something?
No.
I want to know what's
going on. No. Bernard, didn't I say no? No still means no. It's like sex. No. Let him finish. Let me finish my conversation, and we'll go to the next one. Go ahead, Jeff.
Wow.
Once again, it's taken off of the rule of the prophet when he ordered several people to be killed for certain reasons, and he explained, just like the lady was saying yesterday, how women are the cause of most men sinning, and a lot of times men get away with stuff and the women don't. And it was also like that in the Jewish community. That's why they brought the lady that committed adultery to Jesus and said, she was caught in adultery, but no, there was no man there. It was the custom. There's a lot to this. It's not just cut and dried. No, it's not in every society, but you have to know that this comes and is taken off the pages of the Quran.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead, Young.
Can I respond to that?
Hold on, Bernard, there are 11 people in this chat room.
All right.
You are not the only one. Hold on. Stanley, go ahead.
No, like I said, and I think Bianchi's going to say the same thing, I just find it so hypocrite when you as a person, like you say, Tracy, you go to those people and say, the Quran doesn't, is it true? And they say, no, it's not part of it. Yet Jeff comes back with a hypocrite and say, well, because you're infidel, they will never tell you. I'm sorry, that's being hypocrite. You pick and choose what you want, Jeff. You're picking and choosing what you want. You always do the same thing. All Christians, you do that. You pick and choose what you want in the Bible.
Stanley, you cannot indict Jeff, or you cannot indict me because I'm a Christian.
I'm not going to indict you. You did what you had to do, Tracy, which was smart. Jeff, I'm indicting you because you pick and choose what you want. And six, same thing. You're picking and choosing what you want. Because you're saying to me that, like, yes, you are. Because you said 2 minutes ago, you said, oh, the New Testament doesn't say that. I'm sorry. The New Testament also said that Jesus said, I didn't come to change the law. That also
Stanley,
said you were
Stanley, 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 calm down. Take a breath. Jesus himself said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the work of my Father. So you've got a lot of people out there who are calling themselves Christians who are not Christians.
And you have to also
understand.
And Jesus said, I did not come to change it, I came to fulfill it. That's why Christians who are Christians are a part of the New Testament. They are not a part of the
right.
We don't practice the Old Testament.
Right.
That's why we're not killing bullocks and
that's
going
right.
down the street
that's
and all that
right.
kind of
because
stuff. We're not doing all that because we had a Passover lamb.
Right, in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So and remember, everybody calling themselves a car is not an automobile. And I just want to go there. Go ahead, Bernard.
I want to know, do everybody call themselves Jews? Are they Jews? If that's the case.
No.
That's true. Everybody calling themselves Jews are not Jews. You're right.
All right. Then why come Jeff always grouping in? If Islam, everybody who practices Islam or say that they're Muslim, then it's the same thing.
Exactly.
You got to ask Jeff that.
I just want to say,
hold on, Diva.
That they're Muslims, but they don't practice it either. It's the same way.
Yeah, I just want to, one minute,
can I just finish 1 minute? He'll talk about how you can't go on the internet and trust what's on the internet, but then he'll come talking about what you read on the internet.
Go ahead, Jeff. Yes. I'll let you answer that before I go to the next person. He ain't there. Go ahead, Diva.
I just want to say, Jeff, when you said to Google what was going on in Dearborn, Michigan, about them enacting Sharia law and all that. Well, we did, and you, sir, have been found to be untruthful in your statement, because even Snopes, who you trust and you have used as a source, has said that that is not unfounded and not true. It was based on satire.
Look at the post I just put in the chat room. You can say, go to Snopes, you can go to whatever the heck you want to go to. I know people that live there. You can say what you want.
But
they don't care.
But, Jeff, are you telling me that...
Hold on, Stanley, I didn't call you.
Your link is not working, for one. And two,
Pianchi said
that he talked to someone who lived in Dearborn, too.
No,
and... That person refuting what your person is saying, so.
Exactly.
I'm not going to tip that with
no.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Hold on. Pianchi, your mic is on. Go ahead.
Well, I don't have anything else to say. Deep for mentioning it.
I'm just waiting. I'm going to take a break. I want you to play nice during the break. You guys can talk all over the world during the break. I don't care. But when I come back, we do this one at a time. I'll see you on the other side.
Thank you.
Broadcasting from the Ford.
I'm sorry. That's being hypocrite, people. Christian,
yeah. You're
a total hypocrite.
Excuse me. Do not paint us all with a broad brush, Stanley. Thank you very much.
Jeff is a hypocrite.
I'm not a hypocrite whatsoever.
Yes, you are, Jeff, because we're bringing you facts that they're saying no, it's not true, and you're saying, well, the only way they don't tell you is because they're infidel. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're wrong. Did you ever think about that? Maybe you didn't think about saying, maybe I'm wrong about this religion.
No, I'm not wrong.
Well, if you are, what happens if you are, Jeff? You always think that you're always right at everything, but when we bring you facts, you always dispute it and say, I'm always right.
Understand something. I'm 99% right for this reason.
Wow.
My father told me something. For this reason, listen. My father told me, as he was a lawyer, never ask a question, you know, in a dispute that you don't know the answer to, and never make a statement that you don't know how to defend. Now,
Area code 313-943-2000 is Dearborn City Hall. Call them and ask them if they under Sharia law. I'm going to do it right now.
City Hall is not under Sharia law. But they practice Sharia law in the courts, on the street, inside of Dearborn, Michigan.
When we bring facts, when Pianchi's bringing facts, when I'm bringing facts, when other people's bringing facts, you always dismiss it. You don't have the courage of saying, you know what, maybe I'm wrong.
This time, y'all, because he said city council enacted Sharia law in Dearborn.
No,
that's not true. You switched up to they're practicing it in their own lives. I don't think anybody can deny that they practice Sharia law within their own homes and their communities. And I don't think anybody can deny that. If you try to deny that, then something's wrong with you, because it does happen. They do practice some form of Sharia law within their own communities. However, the extreme part is not prevalent in America, nor is it prevalent in our legal system.
Do you realize they had a riot there when the Christians wanted to have a rally?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I put out a nativity scene. They didn't bother my nativity scene, and I didn't bother them. They're not having a nativity scene.
You don't have anywhere near the amount of Muslims and a different type of Muslims that you have coming from the Sudan to Somalia.
Exactly, exactly. They're not all the same, so I'm trying to point to all the same. You guys only look to Dearborn, Michigan. So you use Dearborn, Michigan to paint this broad stroke, and it's not fair.
Yeah, and you're putting the whole Muslim community on trial for a small thing.
Well,
what, Stanley? The Muslim community.
What's your question, Jeff? Steve said that God's been trying something on the phone for like 2 or 3 years, and I was wrong.
Whoever's got the horn in the background, can you mute yourself? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make everybody aware of something that obviously most people in this line are not aware of. There are religious courts in the United States and have been since before the Constitution. For Christians, it's called the Ecclesiastic Court System. For Jews, it's the Sephardic Court System. For Muslims, it's Sharia law. They don't get to try you for murder if your religion told you to murder somebody, but they can't oversee divorce, contract disputes, et cetera, et cetera. I can give you the name and the phone number right now of one of the Supreme Court justices in the Ecclesiastic Court who I happened to meet several years ago. Everybody here is arguing out of ignorance. It's your choice if it's a religious matter. But they won't support murder.
That's completely different.
You're right about that.
It's not a religious matter.
They will support divorce, contract disputes between two people of the same faith, and those types of issues, basically civil issues.
That's different.
So everybody
I
is right on this line, and everybody is wrong because you only know part of the story. Go look at the Ecclesiastic Courts. Go look at the Sephardic Courts.
I don't think anybody would dispute that they handle disputes amongst their own communities.
So you can't have Sharia law.
If
it's a dispute between two Muslims, but it's of a civil nature. It's not criminal. You don't get to kill people and then pick which court you go to.
That's right.
He got a point.
That's what we're saying. We're not disputing that. What we're disputing is what Tracy and Jeff are trying to imply is that the egregious practices of Islam is taken over our legal courts.
And now I'm beginning to see where the communication is breaking down because I've heard enough, and I like what Pianchi did. Take the bull by the horn. Let's call the court system, Superior Court in the town of Dearborn, Michigan, and ask them which law they're following. Let's go to the source.
Here you go. Nobody's saying that the court system in Dearborn, Michigan, has books on it that say Sharia. But just by reason of the people being there, they are making rulings with Sharia law and allowing Sharia law to be carried out in manner.
Well, there's a right of appeal, and I'm sure on appeal they're not being upheld, so they go to the federal district.
This is what I work out to.
Good.
It works.
It gets you moving.
Absolutely.
I like that.
What happened to that?
Hey, everybody got mad because they said they got tired of it.
Oh, you can't get tired of being happy, can you?
I didn't think so either, but they got tired of me playing it. They told me I had to stop. Or they were going to go on strike.
I thought this was Tracy's show.
Yeah, but I can't let my employees go on strike. I don't pay them enough money.
So sometimes the employees can override the management, because if they don't come into work, I'm in trouble.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes. Well, you can play once a day or something, okay? At least once a day.
Okay, you got it. No problem. That's all I need to hear. I got request line.
Happy.
No problem.
Oh, geez.
Oh, here we go. The black Casey Kasem. Here we go. Go ahead, play it.
Okay. I got to play it because I got a request line.
That's right. Especially after today. There you go.
If you feel like happiness is the truth,
there you go.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
There you go.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Here come bad news, talking this and that.
It does put a hip in your step, doesn't it?
That's right. Hey, you see how everybody got quiet? That's how you quiet everybody down. Put that song on.
That's all I got to do? If I had known that, I'd have a voice at the end of the day. Gone it. Hey, listen, I appreciate everybody. I yell at y'all. It's not that I don't love you, but I'm tired of getting complaints out in the street. Because when we talk on top of each other, and when I go back and listen, it's pretty bad. And if I want to stay here, grow here, and be here, I got to make sure that we keep a good rating, that people lock it in and stay. And if they can't hear, you know, it's hard enough to hear on terrestrial radio as it is, just by the case of the signal being not as strong as my competitors. So I need to do whatever I can to make sure that I have a good program. And that you can hear what people have to say, because people are interested in what we have to say, whether they agree or disagree with us. But they want to hear it. And I got to make sure that I give them the opportunity to do so. So I appreciate it. And I do love y'all. I really do.
Wow.
What?
That board's lit up.
That's what I'm saying. You know how hard it is to juggle all that, too? And read. Listen, I posted quite a few articles inside of the chat room for those of you who are there in reference to Sharia law. And maybe we'll get some people on here from that are that are well versed, and I'm not talking about, you know, me, because I told y'all I've never picked up the Quran to read, and I'm not planning on doing so. So I would like to have somebody come on and actually have a conversation about it from different points of view, and so I will try to do that.
A Hebrew Israelite would be good, too. I would love to hear what they have to say and do they practice it. That would be very interesting to me.
Hebrew Israelite?
Yes, Hebrew Israelite.
What is
a black Hebrew Israelite, as they label it.
Oh, they black. They black. So they're the lost tribe. They're the lost tribe, right?
Yeah, the Hebrew Israelites. I would love to hear them.
No, they are beyond the lost tribe. They feel like their birthright was stolen by the Jews.
Right, that's what I was saying.
A lot of European Jew. That's what they believe.
Yeah.
Oh,
there
really?
Ain't no such thing as a European Jew.
Yes, it is.
It is?
No, there isn't.
Why ain't there?
Because all the Jews that were in Europe can be proven they emigrated there from the land of Israel.
Well, you just said from Europe. That's what
they emigrated from Israel to Europe back in the Middle Ages, before the Middle
because
Ages.
What proof is it?
I just watched the thing on history the other day explaining how the Israel's how the Jews emigrated from the Holy Land up into Europe.
Can I ask a question?
That's a certain you need to have more than, because I thought that they were from Ethiopia, the original Jews.
Well, my understanding is the original Jews, if you want to know, they came out of Israel and or the bosom of Jacob. They were Jacob. And so they came out of the tribe of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
And they are the line of Abraham. And I won't say it was they say geographically it was Ethiopia. Geographically they say it was Ethiopia.
but that doesn't mean it was. But that doesn't mean that it was Ethiopia where we see Ethiopia today. Because remember, the maps have changed over the years, and they have not always told us how they changed.
They say Abraham was set to sacrifice Isaac on the same mountain that Jesus was crucified on. Correct?
No, I never heard that.
I know that.
Oh.
Outside of what is present-day Jerusalem.
I believe it might be on outside of present-day Jerusalem, but I didn't know it was the same. It was not guilt. It was not the same place. I don't know. I'm not going to say. I'm not that. Hey. Pardon me?
That was correct.
So it was the same place that Jesus was crucified, was the same place that Isaac was to be sacrificed?
Absolutely. Golgotha.
And this is found where?
You look. You study. You got to study it. Straight to
No. Jeff, that's no.
My notes and find that because it's a fact that I have in my notes.
Listen. I'm not disputing what you're saying. Is what I'm saying
know what
is.
In the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not going to tell you it directly in the Bible, except that you have to know historically when things change.
We have a problem with people bringing up that, because the way you're doing history and the way that other people are going to do history is different than you do.
So Jeff, the reason why I question you is because they ask you where is that in the Bible, you say it's not in the Bible. You have to go back to outside of historical times.
It is in the Bible. It is in the Bible by name.
All right, hold. I'm looking at Yahoo Answers here. Is Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai one the same? Chapter 29 talks of a covenant. I'm well aware of the covenant made on Mount Sinai, Exodus.
But are they the same geographical location?
Sinai, yes. No, this doesn't answer the question. I apologize. I jumped on it too quick.
So we have to go. We'll do that one day. But I'm just saying, the reason why, because if it's not in the Bible, quote unquote, we need to maybe be able to make reference to it because the maps have changed. And in my research and me reading, someone said to me, Tracy, if you look at the map a map that we see today, and he said Africa is the largest continent on the planet, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct?
Yes.
Correct.
When you look at it on the map, why does it look the same size as everything else?
Because Tracy, there's a lot of explanation for that. It's because of the mnemonic projection.
And they said it was because on her show, the Caucasian lady on there, and she said according to her, it's racism. They don't want to show the fact that Africa. I'm just saying I was on her show.
Hold on, where
blacks come from was the biggest continent. They don't want to show that on the map. That's what she said.
Hold on, Bernard. Go ahead, Stix.
As a former United States Navy quartermaster, it's because the normal view of the world is what is known as a mnemonic projection, which flattens out the which makes a flat picture of a round earth.
Okay.
So as you collapse and expand the latitudes and longitudes, you end up distorting the appearance of the landmass. If you want to look on a mnemonic projection or a globe, you will notice on the globe that Africa is the largest continent.
No, you won't.
No, you won't.
It will be somewhat larger, but not to scale as
it has to be.
No, it doesn't.
If the latitude and longitude lines are correct, it has to be larger.
And so,
or is it an incorrect map?
Then what we're trying to tell you is, if you look on a globe, not a flat map. But if you look on a globe, and I want you to go get one today
I got one at home.
Good. Go and look at the continent of Africa, and look at the United.
You're just wrong.
Well, we're not talking. We might be wrong, but the maps that we've seen, and that we paid attention to.
So, map or globe?
Globes. Africa is not to scale as it's.
It has to be.
Let me finish. Go home and look. If you look at the continent of Africa and if you look at the North American continent, it does not look sizably different in size
Go home, look. Come back. I'll be wrong. I don't have a problem
being
wrong.
I will bring my globe Monday.
What'd you say, Steve? What'd you say, Jeff?
Are you asking why it's that way?
No, we're just saying that it is.
Well, it is, but you could fit probably 7 United States inside of the continent of Africa.
But not on a globe.
And that's like I just said. For reasons of fitting it on the globe, they probably had to take it down.
No.
But he's correct on a flat map. You're going to see it with the latitude and longitude lines. You're going to see it as it is.
I'm with you on that.
If the globe is done with proper latitude and longitude lines,
all right,
you're going to see it in its true size.
So bring your globe, since you have one that's to scale.
I've got one that's probably 40 years old.
I don't care how old it is. And then we're going to see if we can put 3 Americas inside that globe, inside that part of Africa on your globe.
Looking at, I hope we didn't throw it away.
That too bad. We're just saying, overall, it was just a FYI. People say it's because of racism. People say it's because of a lot of stuff. My issue is, it is what it is, no matter why they did it. They could have done it because of whatever you said, the nomadic and whatever, the lines and the longitude, latitude, and when you flatten it out, it has to flatten it, you got to shrink it down to size, whatever. We're just saying.
But how is it that Libya, which sits on the African continent, is considered the Middle East?
Because they cut Egypt out of Africa, too, but that's another issue.
Because it surrounds the sea up there, that's why, that's all.
If there's oil, it can't be nowhere where you got to have too many folks.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Oh, that's not true?
Nigeria's got a ton of oil.
Are they getting it out?
Oh, yeah, they're getting it.
I have a question for you.
What?
Why is it that you got all these resources in Africa and nobody black owns it?
Hey, right. Dude. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Bianchi.
I called Dearborn City Hall and talked to the clerk and asked the question was Dearborn City Hall or Dearborn City under Sharia law or respecting Sharia law or anything of that nature? And she said, sir, no.
Okay.
Tracy.
I left the number in the chat room in case somebody wanted to check it themselves.
Thank you,
Pianchi.
First of all, that's not what I said.
Jeff, if I ever called you stupid.
No,
see, Tracy, you let that go on.
You stupid because
yeah.
you didn't listen
yeah.
to what I said. Everybody hollering and saying stuff at the same time.
If I'm so stupid,
done.
Why are you working?
Guys, guess what? You can do this after 12 o'clock. After I get off the air at 12 o'clock, you guys can pull out knives and guns and shoot each other on the phone. But up until for the next 2 minutes, it's still my time. Y'all can't talk on top of each other. I want to thank everybody that listened in today, everyone that called in today. We appreciate you. Tomorrow I'll be home alone. I don't have anybody coming in. I'm going to be – y'all need to call in and help somebody out because I'm in trouble tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be something. I don't know what, but it's going to be something because – I don't have anything scheduled for tomorrow. And so you're stuck with me. So y'all need to go read tonight and find some information and come up with some good open mic topics. Hey, you've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Now, Bianchi, did you ask them if the police were to just stand by, allow a woman to be beat because of Sharia law? Because that's what Jeff said. He did say
well,
that.
I asked her, was Sharia law being practiced in the city of Dearborn, or is it being respected, or is it being used in court? She said, no, sir.
Okay.
Now, y'all called. I got left the number. Y'all called and argued with the woman.
Now, Jeff, you have to call. You do your research.
And she's a city clerk. All correspondence for the city goes through the city clerk.
Once again, Bianchi, it's being practiced there. People have been complaining. They've had go ahead. I guess
nobody
I can't
believes say. You. So you might as well stop saying that.
I don't
we don't
care.
I don't even want to talk about that no more.
Oh, yeah, it's stupid.
I said, wait a minute,
You're just a religious bigot.
Wait a minute.
You're a religious bigot.
To tell me what I can say. I don't care whether you believe me or not.
You can say whatever you want to say. I'm just telling you, ain't nobody listening to you.
I said,
you know the thing about it.
You just shut the hell up and let me finish.
Ain't nobody listening to you, man.
It goes against that story. It goes against that story. Yes, it goes against that story. The city clerk. The city clerk disclaimed that story on the internet.
But Jeff, wait. Jeff, the problem is everybody tells Jeff, two seconds. Everybody's telling you, and Pianti called somebody that told you you were wrong. What else do you need?
About what he said. Not about what I said.
Pianti, did you call to ask him about the information that you wanted to do it? What did they say?
Lady said, no, sir. Politely said, no, sir.
Let him finish.
But Sharia practice, Sharia law is practiced within these communities. Now,
Diva,
the extreme
Diva, I just
want to
hear what happened.
We're not going to listen to that because that's what I was trying to say.
She did tell me how the infidel.
When it comes down to the violent and extreme practices of Sharia law, that's not prevalent. But they do practice Sharia law. They do have a governing body. When it comes to disputes and how the women are governed, all that is governed through Sharia law.
Oh, I agree with you on that, Diva.
As a matter of fact, with as large a Muslim community as we have here, and they don't have it so much in your area, Diva, because
they do. They just don't have the extreme practices. The other tenets of Sharia law that you put in the chat room, but they don't have the extreme violent practices. I've never seen that.
The Somalis are different, and that's what you have primarily there in Somalia. You do have some Indian Muslims in Columbus as well. I'm very familiar with the demographic of that community. But my point was is that they're practicing things, and the police are not apt to get in the middle of certain things going on in the community, just like, if I had ever been able to finish, in the black community when you have the gangs that are running certain areas of the city, the police don't usually go down that area because they know that they will.
So it's not because they're respecting the law. It's more so the fact that
they don't want to get involved in civil disputes.
So the police authority don't bother.
That's having respect for that law. And what I'm saying is this.
No, they don't have respect for that law.
What about the ecclesiastical?
We don't have respect for
the law. She said no.
Neither one should be respected. The gangs in the black communities, nor the Sharia law in
the Jewish Talmud court.
It has nothing to do with respect.
There's no written document saying police are supposed to respect Sharia law.
They're just bigots, man. They're a bunch of bigots. Like the other guy said earlier. The people that keep talking this Sharia law crap. That other guy said it. You got the ecclesiastic courts. You got the Jewish courts. People that's in those religions are doing that thing, and it's civil. You can't be going murdering somebody because
that's right.
But me acknowledging that does not make me a bigot.
No, I'm saying the people that, like Jeff, that keep pushing this crap, like, it's taking over, and they killing people, and the police don't do anything, and all that bull crap.
That's right. The police don't have no written policy to say they're supposed to respect Sharia law or any other thing.
You're a liar from the pit of hell because I didn't say that. I said you can't let them take
well,
over.
Everybody's listening. Hang on for a second. I want you to tell me what you are actually saying while everybody's listening. I'm going to try to jot it down. Go ahead.
Like I said, just like you have a black community that has gangs running certain parts of it, or a Hispanic community where gangs are running certain parts, that's how Sharia law is taking place in Dearborn, Michigan, and that's because that's the highest concentration of Muslims in the United States. I'm not trying to be unfair, but I heard you say.
So what do you want me to ask the clerk?
I don't want you to ask the clerk. What can the clerk tell you about it? Is she a Muslim?
No, she's a clerk for the city. She's a clerk for the city of Dearborn. So you're saying that the police is respecting Sharia law?
They still play Muslim prayers at noon in Dearborn, Michigan.
That ain't nothing wrong with that.
Okay, well, play a Christian prayer and see what will it stand.
They do it in Houston.
They get a call, a prayer, in
Houston, Texas, man, over the loudspeakers in their churches.
I don't have a problem
on the city
with it.
Streets. Yes, they do. They call the prayer in Houston, Texas.
Why do we have a problem when they do call to prayer? Goodness. If the mosque is putting out their call to prayer, why would we have a problem with that?
Yeah, Catholics and Christians bring them down bells.
It's not forcing me to practice that. I go about my business.
I'm just a big diva, once again, and you talk about being hypocritical, and this is the case. It's hypocritical because of this. In America, if you put up a loudspeaker and put out Christian prayers once a day, they would shut you down.
They do not shut you down.
No, because that's never happened. We don't do that.
They don't shut you down. They play them bells.
Pray like that.
Diva, it won't be Muslims just shutting them down.
You better believe the Muslims shut down several Christians.
There was a Christian church right on the corner of my old neighborhood. They didn't shut that church down. They didn't like
hey,
it,
to,
but they didn't
hey,
shut
hey,
it down.
I went to Turkey in 2012, and it was lovely how they prayed that five times a day. You hear it going
it,
on, and I wish we had it going on here for the Christians to be doing the same thing here.
Oh,
it is
God.
Lovely, ain't it?
Most
beautiful thing you ever want to hear.
I enjoy it. It was nerve-wrecking, just like I don't want to hear the 12 o'clock
that's
warning.
That's in America, but
off.
In those countries, man, that is the most beautiful thing you ever
it
want to hear.
Beautiful.
Call a prayer.
And you see people going to pray. It's beautiful, and I wish we were going the same thing here.
Y'all view it as such. I don't view it as such. It's irritating. But, hey, I'm not going to try to stop them. You do you. Hey, that's your
them
practice.
Old bells just – did you ever hear them bells that used to ring on Saturday morning and Sunday morning? Them things sound crazy, man. The only thing I could picture was a man up there with a hump in his back riding on top of a bell.
Quasimodo.
With a funny-looking eye.
That was irritating, too.
Then we had some blacks who would have them churches. Then they'd have loudspeakers on the front so you could hear what the hell going on inside, hooping and hollering, falling out on the floor.
That's what you got there. Whatever you got is their practice. And I want you to go to you. I want you to go, and I want you to look
Jeff,
at
I'm not
the
going
classes.
To no more sites. I'm not calling no more city halls.
No, I don't want you to call a city hall because that was stupid in the first place.
Again, how is that stupid? What you said,
I
wanted to find out.
City Hall, I did not tell you.
You asked the wrong question anyway.
The city clerk is in charge of all the ordinances and all the laws of the city. That's who you call.
Okay, stop the stupidity, brother. Please. Now, I want you to go, and when you get a chance on your little computer, you go look and see whether the Christians and the Arabs in Dearborn are starting to fight each other because of what the Christians do and what the Muslims do. You tell me that's not happening in that city.
You want me to call the police department?
I'll be in Friday. Then we'll talk about it.
I'm
going to
call the police department and ask that question. Are the Christians and Muslims? What is it?
That's fine. But
are the Christians and Muslims fighting each other?
I'm looking at it happening on my screen as we are talking. So, once again, I could care less about who you call as an official. Officials give you
Well, who else
we
going
to
check? We can't just check some internet story, man. They have internet stories about Elvis was seen in Milwaukee and all that stuff.
I'm going to tell you that there's issues with their place. Huh? What official is going to tell you that?
You saying that if Christians and Muslims are fighting in Dearborn, that means there has to be some report, something's reported.
Once again, we got the Freedom of Information Act. You can get those reports. But once again, I don't want.
All right, Jeff, you have. I hear you.
I know, but that has nothing to do with it.
Once by the way, my wife's sister. No, I'm sorry. My wife's aunt had a clitoral thing when she was a child, and she's not beat down. She's not dysfunctioning. She, matter of fact, she's expecting this month.
Did she have her clitoris removed?
Yes, she did. Well, we're not getting into the graphics, but yes, my understanding, she
basically
did.
They had the clitoris removed because the wife is not supposed to enjoy sexual relations.
No,
right.
She was a little girl when she had it done.
Right. They get them while they're young. You ain't going to be able to get no grown woman to do it, just like you ain't going to circumcise a grown man. It's better to do it while the younger children.
Well, they are circumcising grown men under the pretense that it prevents them from catching AIDS or HIV. You heard about that.
Well, that's stupid, but it's
all right, Jeff. Well, look, y'all have a nice weekend. You and your wife, enjoy yourself. What is this weekend? Isn't this Memorial Day weekend?
Well, I'm in my 29th year of a life sentence, so I don't know.
I don't think it's a life sentence. I think it's a very beautiful thing.
It is. I'm just... but I don't know sometimes. You know? I'm
yeah, I think it's a very beautiful thing.
Years this weekend.
Every day you should hug and kiss your wife because you never know.
Oh no! Yeah, you might not never know, but that is possible.
I think of black people is like coming on the show along with someone who's like Muslim from Pakistan. Like if we get the different perspective, I think
right.
That's really clear this whole Sharia law thing. But definitely, for black people is like because they're here in America, you know, and then you got these people that's coming from their country coming here. So, because there's too many gaps in this whole Sharia law thing. There's so many questions, so much stuff up in the air. And then, you know, y'all was talking about the whole female circumcision. And like I said, I know a black man right now in America who's talking about circumcision, did a whole lecture on it about female circumcision and how this is how they did it in ancient times, you know. So there's so much stuff that's going on out here, so many little, you know, sectors and people that stuff go on that the police do not get notified about. So that whole Sharia law thing is just, it's a question.
Well, just to kind of give you an idea of how extreme it is, or how extreme it can be, there were six Iranians that were arrested for making a video dancing the happy. Seriously.
In their country?
They got arrested for it, too.
In their country or here in the United States?
Right.
No, in Iran.
Iran.
Right, it's Iran. I mean,
alone.
I can't get upset. They have rules and laws.
Let me speak for a second. Hold on, let me speak for a second. Yes, I learned from high school what goes on in those other countries, and I've heard people from those countries talk about what goes on in other countries. That's fine. They do it over there, that's fine. But if you're going to say that the Sharia law thing is in America and it's practiced, hear it. I don't just hear it under the name of Islam, because there's other people out there that this type of stuff is going on within the culture of the people. Just like when Diva brought up Scientology. I didn't know what she was talking about, but she made a point when she said, you know, there's things going on with that, with the Mormons and these different things. So does the Sharia law just follow, you know, for people who are Muslim? Because, you know, they actually did, you know, as far as Muslims, it's different type of Muslims here in America. Just like I just said, the black Hebrew Israelites. So, I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to really hear a different perspective and what people are saying.
The black Israelites here are a sect of Christians that I don't think they even came into existence before. Yeah, they call themselves Israelite Christian. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law were in one of those congregations up here in Detroit. And it is a very convoluted thing, and it is very non-scriptural as well, except for when they want to, they, you know, lift some of the law that they have tried to institute that you have to follow. It's very legalistic. It's very constraining. And and it's not scriptural whatsoever.
I wonder who was the person who was sitting, feeling dejected, rejected, and alone, and decided, hey, because of the black problems in America, we're not supposed to be dealing with this. So the Jews in Israel stole our birthright, and we need to put that out there, because that's the one thing that I always hear, is that they are so broken about the history of slavery. They feel, and when they try to take the history back to Egypt and us being kings and queens, well, not all of us come from that region, and all of us being, then they're like, how do we get so broken and so dejected to where we ended up in slavery? And then they say, oh, the Jews in Israel stole our birthright and sold us into slavery.
You do understand a lot of this stuff comes from prison. If you really do the history of a lot of this stuff, you know, black people, Israelites, and Father Center, stuff like that, a lot of it is a prison culture, and it spread it into the community.
And they're trying to mix two different faiths, because if you look at it, they mix Judaism, they mix Christianity, and they mix Islam all together.
Well, there's a thing called Yahwehism, too, that nobody wants to talk about.
That's the one I was talking about, so forgive me.
And then there's Nubians. I mean, there's different types.
Right.
What I'm trying to say, there's just so many different things out here. And I'm just like, you know, what is this Sharia law really about? Because, you know, you got people.
Sharia law is you can go to Divine Bank in Chicago. And I don't know the other two, and one in Dearborn is another one someplace else. And you can get a home loan, and you can get a business loan without paying interest. That's Sharia law.
No. Sharia law is a governing body. Sharia law is a governing body amongst Muslims, Muslim communities.
So it covers many different
disputes. They handle their disputes. There's civil arguments, civil disagreements. They handle their disputes within each other. Now, you have the extremes where you have the vaginal clitoral mutilation.
Well, you have that in
hands and the stoning and the beating.
Yeah, but my wife is not Muslim, and they do that
in
her tradition also. She's not Muslim. But Sharia law covers many, many different things. As I said before, you got banking systems that's operated here in the United States, have been for decades.
It's a governmental system, no doubt, Piyanki, but let me say this. Sharia law was first really instituted in Saudi Arabia, and that's where the primary teachings came out of the Quran there, because of their particular ilk there of being a certain way. But see, Saudi Arabia primarily became westernized with the trade, you know, since OPEC. And so then they themselves, the government and the ruling families, aren't really Sharia people, but they support it. And they allow the people, and they also export it. And it's
You know what the Constitution is in Saudi Arabia?
I believe it's Sharia.
No, it's the Quran.
Right. That's
what goes back to Sharia is Sharia. Yes,
it's the Quran.
Quran
is their Constitution. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get off from here, y'all. Y'all think about this. All these Americans that's under the overburdened weight of student loans wish it could have been done under Sharia where they wouldn't have to pay interest. I'll see y'all later.
Oh, no, Bianchi.
Gosh.
Go to sleep, little boy. Turn the nap.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it's just a lot of gaps, a lot of questions, and I hear what Tracy was saying, but I'm like, I could take her to a video of a man that's talking about female circumcision and really getting cocky and saying that this is what we did and it's okay and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, it's a lot of stuff out here people don't know about.
Now, there's no doubt about it. You got a lot of stuff up there in New York, too, because you got people not only homegrown here, but, you know, you have all the melting pot of the nations coming into one city. you in D.C. and Chicago coming into one city where a lot of things are able to grow. Reverend Ike, I believe, got his start up there in New York. A lot of other people. I don't know if you know Bernard Jordan, but he's out of Brooklyn. He's a prophet that comes on TV and prophesies on TV, him and his son. Well, Bernard is a personal friend of mine, and he was an excellent teacher, Bible scholar, everything. Then all of a sudden, you see him, you know, I know when it happened, but he got discouraged about something that happened in white churches he was going to. And he started selling prophetic waters. And it was crazy.
Who is this now?
Bernard Jordan. You ever see him? Or his son is a guy named Manasseh Jordan.
Oh. I know who Manasseh is. I didn't know who his father is. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Bernard is Manasseh's father. And Manasseh, I just leave him alone. I shared a meeting with them up in Cleveland a couple of years ago. Me and my sister did, and they were just so far out. We couldn't believe it had happened that way. But it was crazy.
A lot of times when people don't know in New York, what happens is the people that are part of whatever they're part of, it automatically gets claimed to be Muslim if you're ignorant and you don't know any better. Because, you know, there's so much culture here. But Muslim is always the main thing that people will claim it is. Like with the Nuwabians, they automatically be called Muslims because of the way they were dressed and how uniform they are and stuff like that. So, you know, and it's stuff that was going on in that community too. So, you know, that's why I say, you know, what Tracy was saying, I don't know if she knows anything about other, like there's so much other stuff out here besides this whole, you know, this one woman, you know, talking about what her people are doing. It's like there's many people doing what you're doing. That's not from your country here in America that are doing circumcision, you know, so.
There's a lot of things happening, the bottom line is that you have to look into a lot of different things. I'm a person that does that, and that's why I like to do talk radio, you know, because I can speak on a whole lot of different subjects. I want to get people ticked off at me at times. And sometimes I do that on purpose, okay, because it gets the people riled up, it gets people calling, it gets people discussing. But I want you to discuss. I want you to go explore, okay. But whenever people have a discussion, even if it's an argument, you've got to hear what somebody else is saying and not attribute something to them that they didn't really say. And that's a very frustrating thing. Very, very frustrating. But it's part of what we do, so that's why we do it.
Yeah.
Who's still left on the phone?
I think it's just me and Aminti.
Usually Pianchi hang around. He didn't hang around today.
No, he said he had to go.
He got tired.
Daddy, Mama. Yeah, I fell asleep on the Sharia lady today. I fell out.
I was hearing what she had to say. I understood where she was coming from. She was just speaking about awareness about what was going on in her culture. And outside of America, they are very, very extreme with how they handle disobedience and rebellion. Very extreme. I just couldn't understand what she's speaking on awareness about how it was outside of the Americas. Or was she saying that it's happening here in America?
It sounds like she was saying it was happening here. That's what I was
saying. Well, that's because it is. The thing is you have to understand, it's just like this. I saw where this guy killed his two daughters, okay? Everybody knew that he killed his two daughters. Shot them both in the chest. Okay, because they went with black women two different times. It wasn't the same time. Now, you would think that the one would learn, but they got here to the United States and they, you know, they became a certain way. Well, the police, because they didn't see direct evidence, they ain't arrest nobody.
Wait a minute. Where was the witnesses?
There wasn't no witnesses.
You said you saw it?
No, we didn't see it. I'm trying to say the situation of the girl got off work and went to her car and got blasted in Boardman. Okay? Right?
Okay.
You know where Chi Chi's used to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, right there at Chi Chi's. Shot her right in her chest. Now,
okay, so wasn't like the law was saying, okay, well, because you killed your daughter.
No, but the thing is they don't go far on purpose. Okay, and now it's worse than ever because they have respect and they're afraid of the Muslims.
That's what I'm not buying. I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this. We respect your culture. We respect the violence in your culture, so we won't do nothing. I think it's
Listen. They are afraid of these people in this country. And the more numbers that you have of them, that's why Dearborn is such a hot spot.
So it's no different when the police ignore highly impoverished black communities with high violence.
I absolutely agree.
Okay.
That's what I said. Whether you have a gang running in the area, or whether you have Muslims that because you're afraid that they might get out of hand, they can't control them in France.
Okay, so what you're saying is because of this attitude by law enforcement that is spreading in these communities, that is getting worse. Because they know law enforcement won't intervene.
Right. And not only that, when a woman's getting beat, she ain't calling the police.
No, she ain't calling the police. She's supposed to go to her imam or the elder in that community.
Well, the imam is going to order the beating. You have to understand say it was okay. Well, it had to be the woman's fault.
To be a reason why he can't just beat on her.
Yes.
He can't just be abusive towards her.
I read the Quran scripture says that a man is allowed to beat his wife even if he thinks that she is being high-handed, it says in the Quran. Even if he thinks it. That's why it's such a terrible situation for them. When they break pretty much out. They get away if they can. But it's not as bad as a mafia or something like that. If they get away somewhere, nobody's really going to search for them and kill them.
Jeff, what sewer is that?
Where'd you come from?
I'm at work, but I got a break. I want to know what sewer is where it says if you think your woman did something, you can beat her.
I read it the other day while we were on the air. I looked up a passage from the Quran. I believe it's in the Hadith section of the Quran. Now, it tells you all the things that you can do and not do. But the thing is, it gives a... Here, let me see if I can find it right now. You got to know that... Hold on.
Okay, the Quran, whatever, 434, men are the maintainers of women because Allah has made some of them to excel others and because they spend out of their property. The good women are therefore obedient guardian, the unseen as Allah's guardian. Okay, blah, blah, blah. And then 3844, and take in your hand a green branch and beat her with it and do not break your oath. And I guess they're taking scripture.
No, well, that's not just scripture for them.
So they're taking scripture and interpreting scripture.
Well, they're interpreting their own scripture.
Right. Remember, they're taking their scripture and interpreting their own scripture, just like how Christians take our scripture and interpret our scripture. And we know not every Christian get it right.
Now, I understand. No, these are things that the prophet said. He. Whenever you see them do something, it's because the prophet said it was okay.
Right. Quran 38:44, and
just
take
like
your hand,
said was okay,
a green branch, and beat her with it, and do not break your oath. It said, and what I'm reading, it says, Allah telling Job to beat his wife. So Allah was giving Job in this scripture permission to beat his wife.
Allah was giving Job?
I don't know. That's what I'm reading. I'm doing my research here.
She reading the text of thunder.
Listen, this is where it
comes
from. The Quran was written by Muhammad. Muhammad's wife had always asked her husband, why are the Jews all more powerful than us? And they were not Muslims at that moment. Of course, Muslimism came after Muhammad. And he asked his wife the question. His wife said, because they have prophets.
Where is that at in the Holy Quran?
That's not going to be in the Holy Quran.
That's
going to be in the history of Islam. You find out
that's
in the history
saying.
Of Islam. You're going to have to dig on that one, my brother. That's what he
said.
I have a question. Is there a difference between the Quran and what the Hadith?
The Hadith is the same as the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay.
That were written down.
Oh, it sounds like we can't.
Okay, so in one of these scriptures, a woman came to Muhammad and begged her to stop her husband from beating her. Her skin was bruised so badly that it is described as being greener than the green veil she was wearing. Muhammad did not admonish her husband, but instead ordered her to return to him and submit to his sexual desires.
That's in Hadith.
That's Bukhari 7:2, 7:15. And then Bukhari 7:72, 7:15. Aisha said, I have not seen any woman suffering as much as the believing women. This is Muhammad's own wife complaining of the abuse that the women of her religion suffer relative to other women. So basically, this is confusing. I'm going to have to do a little more research on this. Wow. Wait a minute. Are you saying, so what I'm reading, it seems like Muhammad was abusive to his own wives and he promoted abuse?
Muhammad was throwing kids.
No, he wasn't.
He had mental problems. He used to go into some people say they were transes, and then that's where he got the inspiration to write the Quran. Okay, but he was having like maybe something like epilepsy, he'd go into the shaking and things and have a episode. Well, he did a whole lot of crazy stuff, but they won't let you know that now. But that's why it's okay for a 56-year-old man to marry a 12-year-old little girl in Islam. That's why you have those things. That's why you got this crazy nut over here who is using the Quran lightly to get these women, 300 girls. And he
got
the 300 girls.
You got that in the Bible. We had 800 concubines.
Where?
Solomon.
What about Solomon?
Had 800 of them. 800 concubines.
Well, he didn't steal 800 of them. Mary,
I didn't say he stole them. I said he had 800.
I'm talking about the guy in Africa that stole the 300 girls out of school. Because he says that education to a girl is incorrect and wrong.
Yeah, but that's not all. That's something he teaches.
Well, it's not that he's just teaching it.
Yes, it is.
Their religion.
No. It seems like, hold on, at first, Ben Abi Dubov reported the Apostle of Allah as saying, "Do not be Allah's handmaidens." But when Umar came to the Apostle of Allah and said, "Women have become emboldened towards their husbands," he, the Prophet, gave permission to beat them. So at first, Muhammad forbade them from beating their wives, but then he rescinded this once it was reported that women were becoming emboldened towards their husbands.
And told him, "You can beat them as long as you don't beat them in the face."
But he was slapping his wife.
Well, it didn't matter. I'm just telling you.
That's
why that system is what it is. And you know, how do you justify? How can you possibly justify what they say about the infidel?
This is where I step in at.
When you read and see that they were getting killed, that's what you read.
We read into all that, right? Now you have people in America who still choose to be a part of that. Who still choose to be a part of that religion? The women grow up straight here in America all their life, and they still choose to be a part of that culture. So now that we have the Shahara law, whatever's going on, are we defending all women under this stuff who's getting abused when their holy books approve of it and they can see it right there? Like, you understand what I'm saying? What is this? What are these women really asking us to do with this Shahara law stuff?
Well, what they're saying is they want people to stand up with them and protect them because they're not choosing to be in that type of a lifestyle. They don't have any other choice. There's no choice that they have.
But wait a minute.
She's talking about the ones in America.
What about the ones in America who choose?
They don't have any choice. Where are they going to go?
Well, wait. What about the women in America?
No, there are programs that will help these women get away. There are domestic violence programs that will help these women get away if they choose not to, because they don't want to be isolated. They don't want to leave their children. They don't want to leave their family.
Yeah, let me say something real quick. With the Nuwabian, these women wrote letters to Dr. York, who's never going to see them, and they were saying that their husbands were beating on them. And these are women who were born in America. And this is what they were going through with their men. And they were writing him like, "These men, my husband's beating on me," and all this and that. And so amongst the community, they addressed the men about their behavior. You understand what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. When those women, like what Diva just said, they can go to a domestic violence shelter. There's a mental breakdown that's going on with these women that they stay.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. There's a mental there. And for women who are forced into it from Pakistan, I can understand their situation. But it's going to happen. The whole is bigger than the sum of its parts. So even when we go to the Shahara law thing, it's other aspects of it that I'm thinking about. So what are we doing? We're protecting all women that's a part of this?
Well, they want you to help. It's just like when we were in slavery, okay, and we wanted somebody to help us get free.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Good.
I like it better. You wanted to have somebody help us get free. And that's the bottom line. You know, they want to get free. They know that it's not right. They know that they don't want to get beat because the man feels a certain way about it. You know, I was very close to the Muslim community for a while, and some of the stuff I saw, I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine it.
One, I can't imagine wearing a burqa. I can't imagine wearing all that clothing. But
okay, I put several things on my Facebook.
I have to say something. Being out here in the city, a lot of them be rude. A lot of them are really rude. They push their strollers. They'll bump into you with their goddamn stroller. You would want to bust them upside your head, so we understand, because you know something's going on. And a lot of times their children are out of hand. Their children are out of control. It's like the mothers have no control over those children. They're just pushing strollers.
That's because they allow their children a lot of more leeway than we do. They raise their children different. We raise our children to grow up into being adults, and then we allow them as adults to make their own decisions and do whatever. As children, it's the opposite for them. Their children are a little wayward, be out of hand, whatever. And as they come, I think once they turn a certain age, then they have to, you know, then they become adults and they have to fall into the fold of the practicing. So
that's actually backwards because my husband told me, he was like, man, those Pakistanis and Muslim kids, they're the worst children. He would always tell me that at work. He said, yo, those kids are the worst.
Dumb kids, oh my gosh. That's why I left out of that apartment complex, because it was horrible. Them kids was cussing. They was foul mouthed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just find it.
And they didn't do anything about it. They just sit there and watch them.
The mothers say nothing. The mothers say nothing. And a lot of times these women are very rude. They are. They just, they're, you know, it's like.
Let me tell you a story. I'm sitting in my apartment. This was a couple years ago. I'm sitting in my apartment, right, looking out the window. I see these two kids in a van. They had to be no older than four. The youngest was a baby, and the other was four. It was a hot day. They seemed like they were locked in the van. So I went over there to try to get them out, and I couldn't get them out for whatever reason. The door was stuck. So I'm like, well, where's your mama? She's not here. I'm like, well, who's here? I know normally they got a whole bunch of people in there. Oh, it's just my brothers. I said, go upstairs and get somebody and tell them that the babies are locked in the van. He didn't want to. The little boy didn't want to go get nobody. I ended up calling the police. So when the police came out, then she comes walking. I guess one of the little boys ran around the corner, told her the police are there. She comes walking up there. You know what I'm saying? The police point to me. And she looking at me, and he walks over to me, asking what happened, and she's looking at me like she got a problem with me. And I say, yeah, the two little babies were stuck in the van. They do this all the time. They leave their kids unattended, leave them at home. I understand that they feel like, oh, we got neighbor here, neighbor there, but everybody in the house, ain't nobody paying attention. Oh, yeah, she looked like she want to get dealt with. Because
I'm saying, these people, and I'm saying this for being here in New York City, too. These people are rude. You know what I'm saying? It's like, even though I do have compassion, like Tracy is saying and stuff, you know, but I'm just thinking, like, it's just so much to this that I see, and it could be because of where I'm located, and I see so much stuff at once.
My mother can't stand them. I call my mother a bigot all the time because she can't stand them.
No, you know what it is? It's like, okay, you come from this type of culture that, this woman's claiming and abuse and all this type of stuff. But then you act like a cunt. You know what I mean? Like, then you're treating people like you're above them and all. What is all that for?
Yeah. That's why people don't get involved, though. Because you get involved, and it's like, man, they come at you like a pack of roaches.
Yeah.
And you the enemy.
Right. Like I said, it's like it's going to get physical. So if I try to help this one Shahara Law woman, steps to me, you know, steps to me, and then I have to get physical with him.
Well, you understand something, you're not dealing with a benign situation, and that's the whole thing, and that's why you do not have too many people messing with Muslims that much. Let me read something. It says, this is in Quran 3:151. Soon shall we cast terror into the hearts of unbelievers, for that they join companions with Allah, for which he had sent no authority. He's talking about fighting the infidel. Let those fight in the way of Allah who sell the life of this world for the other. Whoso fighteth in the way of Allah, he be slain or be victorious on him, we shall bestow a vast reward. Those who believe fight in the cause of Allah. they but wish that you would reject faith as they do and thus be on the same footing as they, talking about infidels, but take not friends from their ranks until they flee in the way of Allah from what is forbidden. But if they turn renegade, seize them and slay them wherever you find them. And in any case, take no friends or helpers from their ranks. Nobody's a friend to the Muslim. And there's a one scripture here that I can find that tells you, you lie to them, deceive them, do whatever to them, and bring them into your trap and then kill them. You can't get an answer of truth from somebody that is a Muslim unless he really just wants to tell you the truth.
Well,
you
we know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad been lying to his sect for a long
time. That's not a real Jewish, that's not a real, they're not real Muslims. And you know
but don't
the
they follow the same word?
The thing about like Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and the brothers, a lot of them was doing something for the community, bringing some kind of found. It's for a different meaning. And, I mean, women and many, if you go out in history, we have, and still to this day, women are suppressed. Women are you know, even in the churches, you know, the female pastor's voice is not respected. The woman's voice in general is not respected. In the conscious community, the only time a woman's really talking as if she's talking about tantra, sacred sex, or something like that. But rarely do you hear a woman talking about something very intelligent unless she's talking about racism or homosexuality. It's the same type of stuff. What I see personally, women all over are being suppressed in you know, by men. You know, that's just what I see.
Listen. Here's the thing about that. And you're right. But the bottom line is, these people, their whole religion is one of death and fighting.
Yeah, they fight and kill each other all day over there. If you watch,
they don't fight each other. They fight. They fight of the Jews. Fight against the Jews wherever they can.
I saw it on TV. Now you gotta watch reality TV, like those type. I forgot the name of the show on True TV and stuff.
They
those
don't
people,
kill each other. They're killing people who don't believe in them.
Well,
they are killing each other.
They are. Listen to me.
If you go over to Iraq, or you go over to Syria, who are they killing? They're killing each other.
Go watch
TV. Aren't they killing those who don't believe in them? The extremists are killing people.
They're still Muslims.
They're killing. Those that are westernized, because those people to them, they're not real Muslims, because it just said in the scripture I read a minute ago that they have taken part in the practices of the infidel.
Do they believe in Islam?
But they gotta make that appropriate.
Even though they believe in Islam, they have taken on practices that are not in Islam.
But the fact of the matter is, they're still killing people who don't believe in them. They look at these people as different than them. They look at these people as non-believers. That's why they're not killing someone who believes in them.
They got different sects, just like they do in Christianity. You got Shiite, you got Sunni,
Yeah, you got the Shia and the Sunni. There's no doubt about it. And like I said, there's some that aren't radical. They don't enforce the full of Sharia law. But you better believe they're going to support one another if they haven't been westernized.
It's not the same thing.
Look at all this madness that we're talking about with the Muslim and the Sharia law. And it's just like, what the hell are we going to do to help? How the hell are we going to help them?
There's nothing you can really do.
That's what I'm saying. We're all screaming. It's like only people we can help is the women who can really truly want to help and say, this is what's happening. This is what I want for my children. My children are being abused. Because, you know, America, when it comes to the babies, that's when we really fight and we'll stand up. That's all we can really do. But as far as it's so much, it's a battle if we go against the whole Sharia effort. Because you're going to have some women that's going to battle them. You know what I'm saying? It's just so much.
Listen, let me read something else to you real quick. They asked the prophet, is it all right that we attack, should we be able to attack the enemy, the infidels, at night and harm their children and wives? The prophet says, their children and their wives are of them. So go, in other words, go right ahead. Now,
that's
this is from...
Ain't that the same thing the Crusaders did?
No,
that's
not
right.
In the Old Testament,
the Crusaders killed men, women, and children.
Brother, you know why? You want to know why he told them to kill the women and the children?
I just asked you that they do. You said no.
Said, yeah, but who were they? Who were these people?
Was it the Amorites or something like that? Amalek,
yeah,
whatever.
They were the Anakim, the Nephilim. They were not humans. That's what.
Well, the Bible says.
I said the Crusades.
Hold on, the Bible said to kill every man, woman, and child, not leave a stone unturned. I think that's what the Bernard was.
I said the Crusades.
Oh. Well, that's a different system.
That's what I figured. Islam is a different system. Were they Christians?
No, because you have to look at the reason behind it.
Did they call themselves that?
Yeah, you're right. They wanted to
wipe out Muslims and they killed men, women, and children.
They wanted to wipe out non-believers because Muslims because they felt like the Muslim religion was taking over.
And did they kill men, women, and children?
I don't know too much about the Crusades, but...
Yeah, what if they did? They slaughtered them all.
Before we go that far, let's just...
But they weren't acting on the word of God. They weren't looking
at... They said they weren't.
But hold on, before we go that far...
It's different because Jeff is pulling out actual scripture that says this is what you have to do.
Yeah,
the Crusade wasn't about, okay, we are pulling out scripture and saying this is what we have to do. They were going off of... feelings and emotions about seeing a different religion, and they felt like it was becoming very dominant in that.
With Muslims too.
Yeah,
the same thing. People saying stuff. See, he don't point out this. I mean, he says you read the Hadith where he says three generations from me, you would no longer be ugly.
Okay, wait, but hold on. Let's look at the reality. Let's get it back down to earth. Okay, I hear all that. But at the same time in America, for those who are not Muslim, let's talk about those who are not Muslim, such as
what
Jeff.
Is it?
They're not beating their wives and forcing them to this and that. It's a very different dynamic here. It's very different. You're dealing with something mental here with these women who are a part of this stuff and under different.
Brainwashing.
Great, yes, that's what I'm saying, and I'm saying that. Let's focus on that, and that's why I say, you know, what could we really do to help? It's like the woman in India. She was trying to help women who were getting raped from ages 9 to 15 in India, and there were women going against her for trying to defend the women for being raped.
That's always going to be the case because you have women fighting for women of domestic violence all the time. And the one thing that you'll find about domestic violence is you really can't help no one unless they actually truly want to be helped. With brainwashing, you can pull them out. You can try to pull them out. And if they go back, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, just like I knew women who was Nubian, and I'm not coming down on a Nubian. I'm just saying that as an example. They left. Their kids, and they left. They did what they had to do, but they had that option. These women from Pakistan and all this stuff that comes to these places, they don't realize, they don't know that they can just leave. They don't feel that. They don't see it, that they're here in America and they can walk away or get some type of help. So those women have to first make a step to help themselves. I hear everything that Tracy's saying, but all these women are not feeling the same way as these other women.
Exactly.
You know, that's just my whole, like, it has to be women that's going to step up first and, as one and say, yo, I'm tired of this.
But here's the thing, Aminti. It's not, I don't care what they say. The extremes and the violence is not prevalent in American society, in these American communities.
Right.
The reason why we came against Tracy and what they were saying is because we feel like they're promoting an anti-Islamic agenda.
Yep.
And in order to go about that is they're playing to the extremes.
The only thing that upsets me is you have extreme non-Christians who do the same thing about Christianity. So I
that's
see that
right.
there's a lot of hypocrisy going on.
Right.
Diva.
That's why I said there's something fishy about this thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Diva. All right. Was the founding fathers, were they Christians?
I'm sorry?
The founding fathers, were they Christians?
They had a belief.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Jeff always said how they was Christians and all that. Okay, how were they Christians? And they was murderers and rapists and everything else.
And they allowed slavery to commit.
Yeah,
so
how he want to look at them and say they're Christians and
I mean,
justify
you
got to
look at it because it was not too long ago Jim Crow was enacted. You had misogynist laws. You had laws against interracial marriage based on scripture. When you look at the Loving case in Virginia, the judge actually said they were guilty because if God meant for races to mix, that he would have done so. And he based his calling their marriage, this white man and this black woman's marriage, a criminal act based on the Bible. And that was not too long ago. That
well, that's
was
what I'm saying.
Jeff's generation.
You can't have it both ways.
Can't have it both ways. And
so
I,
you have Christians who misinterpret the Bible. I mean, you have Christians who say we can only wear skirts. We can't talk back to our husbands. We can't have an opinion. We can only be seen, not heard. There are
well,
some
you have
Christians.
Some, well, you have something to say that the women can't even speak in the church.
That's what
I disagree with. I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
That's what I'm saying.
The
suppression.
The women, for one, are the first teachers.
It's
so why wouldn't they be able to teach in the church?
Right. It's the suppression of a woman. It's deeper than what we're seeing here because women all over are being told to be quiet.
I get that they're trying to point out that there's brutality, but man, the Amish can be brutal, the LDS can be brutal, Scientology can be brutal. And here in America, even Muslims, they're not as brutal. They'll shun you more so than be violent towards you. A lot of people, even Amish people, conform because they'll tell you they don't want to be shunned. If you watch this TLC special, Going to Amish or something, they don't want to be shunned. They can't handle being away from their families and all that. So that's why they end up conforming. I don't think it's the violent aspect of it in America that is so prevalent. That's the only problem I have is they're trying to make it seem like there's so much violence going on here in America and we're not doing anything about it. It's just not happening as they're now
well,
in other countries, sure. But how
well,
are we to go into
right.
another country where their constitution is the Quran and say you are wrong?
Yeah, I'm not doing that shit. I'm not putting my life, my children, my family in danger for that. Like you crazy.
But like South Carolina, how he gonna say that the lady was beat so almost an inch away from her death, but she came to school the next day? That don't make sense.
And on top of that,
they'd be lying to justify what they're saying. They'd be lying.
Yeah, and the school system on top of that, and nobody said nothing. That's bull crap.
Right. I'm not buying that amenity either because the police would have been called, and the police will intervene in that situation.
And the brother would have got suspended for hitting her in school. What the hell is he talking about?
Exactly. I mean, to make it seem like, oh, everybody's just going around and bowing down to this extreme portion of Muslim culture, I'm just not buying it.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I lived among it, and I didn't see it. Yeah, they had their little laws and how they handled each other. And I'm like, dang, you know what I'm saying? Old girl can't even be free to go to a club. She got sent away. Who want me to say you wrong?
Right.
Who
want
me to say you wrong for how you handle your community?
Right. And then on top of that, it's like if a woman is outside getting somebody may step in. So you know, I guess it's crazy. We went here.
Not necessarily.
No, I said May. It depends on the woman.
Oh yeah, because they come at you like a pack of roaches.
I tried to help. One woman got punched in her face. I was like, "Miss, you want me to call the cops?" She's like, "No, I'm fine." I was like, "Okay," and I kept walking.
Right. Like two guys were outside in the parking lot throwing down. I mean, they were going blows. They even broke the window, the mirror
on
my
car. Talk about a woman being abused in the street. There are people out here that will call a cop. There are people out here, you know.
Yeah. We'll call. Like, I'll call.